about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
#swag.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I just noticed something that in one of your interviews with John Candy, I believe, it looked like an older interview, you had less hair than you have today. How do you explain that?
I don't wear a wig, sir.
Paint your bald spot?
What bald spot?
You paint your bald spot?
I don't know what you're talking about, sir. My hair grows.
You paint your bald spot?
I don't have a bald spot.
How come you had less hair on the tape?
Maybe my hair grew. Maybe I had a bad haircut that day. By the way, something. What do you care?
Paint your bald spot?
I don't. Do you paint your bald spot?
Paint your bald spot?
You're sick.
And now,
just remember, every time you look up at the moon, I too will be looking at a moon. Not the same moon, obviously, that's impossible.
Our feature presentation.
I like the guy that argues with Larry King.
He wouldn't quit. Right?
That's strong. Actually made Larry mad.
Yeah.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday, the 26th of November.
I miss when Larry used to have a radio show. Man, he was fun to listen to.
Yeah, I only liked it when he got into his older years, when he got crazy.
Right.
So confused. Right. Pretty yes. boring.
Before. He was often cranky, too, though, and that's another thing that I liked about him. You guys ever have that thing where you wake up and you have no idea what day it is?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And you're praying it's a Saturday or a Sunday, praying, trying to look for any kind of evidence that it might be the weekend. And then how do you know what day it is when you wake up? How do you figure it out?
Well, I think you just lay there and think about it
for
a minute.
Yeah, I think you just think about it. I don't know.
I mean, most days you don't have to try to think. It's interesting that it carries over in your brain. I mean, you kind of sort of know when you wake up. Oh, today's Wednesday. Oh, today's Friday. Whatever it is. It's kind of like a leftover memory from the day before, which I think is interesting. But sometimes, for whatever reason, the cycle gets broken and you have to start over again. So I'm laying there this morning. I'm thinking, what did I watch on TV last night? That's the hint right there. And then I remembered it was football, but was it Sunday night football or was it Monday night football? Then I had to try to remember what the game was.
That's Bean's hint for all things. What did you watch on TV last night?
Right, exactly. So it was very weird. And I have bad news for you guys. It is not Saturday or Sunday today.
No, it's Tuesday, actually.
It is not. It's actually Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
Here's a great story to get us started, though. This is a man in central China. He is a bartender named Zhao Bin. He is from Shangsha. And he was out partying with some friends when he may have gotten a little bit tipsy and may have passed out a little bit in the back of a cab and may have lost his iPhone 4 in the transaction. So he's ticked off that he lost his iPhone 4. So what he decided to do was, when he got home and sobered up the next day, is he borrowed a friend's phone and started texting his phone and said, look, give me my phone back. Hey, it's me. I know who you are. Hey, I'm coming after you. In fact, he even threatened the guy. He said, you can be sure that I will find you. Just have a look through my contacts. You will see who I am. You need to send the mobile phone back to the following address. And he gave the guy his address, texted it again to his own phone. By the way, completely bluffing. The guy's a bartender. He's not in the mob. He doesn't have any, it doesn't have a team behind him. He doesn't have an army.
Right.
He was just trying to scare the guy into sending back his iPhone.
Doesn't have money for a lawyer, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. 4 days later, a parcel is delivered to his front door. There is no iPhone inside the package, but the thief had transcribed in 11 pieces of paper every phone number and email address on the phone to send back to the guy.
So he got all his information.
He got all of his contacts, yes.
Which is a good thing.
The thief just wanted to make it so he didn't care anymore?
He had over 1,000 telephone numbers in his phone, by the way.
What a thoughtful thief.
All down?
He wrote them down. You should see, I mean, how long would it take to write down 1,000 names and numbers on paper?
I don't know, because I wouldn't do it.
No.
I would just start from scratch, and as I call someone, I just add them to the list.
Well, that's what the thief did, though. The thief wrote down 1,000 numbers and his email contents and sent it back. The guy who did not get his phone back but did get his contacts is grateful for that, at least, even though he lost his phone. All the numbers were handwritten. It would take a long time simply to write the numbers 1 to 1,000, let alone all those names and telephone numbers. It must have given him a swollen hand. So his advice is don't give up. You know, if you ever lose your phone,
bluff. How about that?
Try. Go for it.
When you said that the guy who lost his phone sent his address, I thought the other guy that stole the phone was going to go rip him off. Because that would have been awesome.
Take more stuff?
This is the address to send it. All right. I'll go during business hours and I'll take some more.
What else you got? So anyway, it's not a $500 phone, but at least it gives him something to start with when he does get another phone. So not all was lost in that case.
Very thoughtful thief. Mm-hmm. Very thoughtful. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBean Show, shall we?
Well, good luck with that.
Rachel Bloom will be on the program today. She has a Hanukkah song on YouTube that's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Going to talk to her. We have Thanksgiving nightmares. As you know, most of the time that family gets together, it can go terribly south.
Well, it's a long day with people who don't necessarily like to hang out, and there is often drinking involved.
Thus, entertainment. David Spade will be on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about his Comedy Central show. We have, speaking of comedians, Bobby Slayton will be on the show.
So we get a break?
Yes.
Right.
Take a half hour off. Yeah. Right. Going to talk to Matt Money Smith about the Lakers and about Kobe Bryant's new deal. And we have Matt O'Hannon, I believe is how you say his name, from Wired, who's going to tell us about the new policy on Facebook where they can tell where your mouse is hovering over on Facebook. It doesn't even have to be clicked on something. It just happens to be hovering over something. And now they have that information.
That's just wrong.
Does that bother you guys, really?
Well, it just seems like they are encroaching more and more and more.
Yeah.
And at some point, people are going to say, all right, I'm switching to something else because this is BS.
Yeah, it doesn't,
you know, that in and of itself, no.
Right. It doesn't bother me specifically, but it does bother me as a policy. Yeah. But anyway, we'll talk about that coming up as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Woo! Keep listening to K-Rock all week long for your chance to win tickets to the sold-out 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas shows, which are fast approaching the weekend of December 7th at the Shrine. You get those details at krock.com, but we have them for you every hour all day long today, starting at 9 a.m. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Woo! Tuesday!
What's going on, man?
It's Tuesday, man.
Yeah.
Love Tuesdays.
Freaking Tuesday.
Tuesdays rule.
It's not Saturday.
Oh, you know what? No, but it's Tuesday. It's sort of like Thursday because we only have a 3-day work week.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
Tuesday like Thursday.
Right. At worst, it's like Wednesday, which because it's the hump day of this 3-day week.
Yeah, correct.
So worst case scenario, it's Wednesday.
Correct.
Best case scenario, it's Thursday. So quit your belly aching is what we're saying.
All I'm saying is whether it's Tuesday or Thursday, I still had to get up. What I was going for was, hey, let it be Saturday or Sunday, and then I don't. Then it's just me and the puppies for another couple of hours.
Listen, you've saved every nickel you've ever made. Maybe it's time just to get in the dinghy and just sail off the island and just be done with it. Just
sail around the world for the rest of your life.
Oh, man. Nobody's more unhappy than you are. With a pretty cool job, nobody. And I think I'm cranky, but
I'm not being cranky.
You just hate it.
No, that's
you
not
true.
You
hate it.
That's not true at all. Look, all I was saying, and you guys agreed with me.
I just don't.
When I brought it up, which is, wow, we're in a hurry. You guys agree with me when I brought it up. Some days you wake up and you hope it's Saturday. That's all. That's all I'm saying. I'm not bitching. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying I wished it were Saturday.
But here's the thing, Bean. Most of us, what we do, as soon as we realize it's not Saturday, it's Tuesday, then that we move on. It's like everything else is fine. It's Tuesday. Let's move on.
Well, I'm here.
You're still upset.
You look at it like a dog looks at food.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
This is a great list from GQ magazine. They list this year's 25 least influential people. people in the public eye that least have influence over what you say, do, or think.
I like it.
I do, too. These people should be put in their place. Here's your top 10 of the 25. Will Smith and his entire family,
a
10th on the list. They are in our face a lot, and no one says, oh, I want to be like Jaden.
Yeah, true.
9th, George Zimmerman.
Yeah.
True. He's in the news a lot.
I know you.
And I'm not pointing a shotgun at any of my girlfriends. He's just not
influencing
me. He is
a model at what not to do. That's the one thing Zimmerman's got for him.
Another high-profile person that doesn't make us give a rat's ass one way or the other. Royal baby Prince George.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Has no influence on whatsoever.
I never buy anything he endorses.
However, I have taken to starting just pooping in my pants.
Well.
Because apparently he does that, so. A-Rod. Baseball's A-Rod.
Sure. Although I think if you were a Yankee fan, maybe you'd be
but even that,
affected
just,
by that.
You just hate him. You're not even influenced by him, right? Miley Cyrus, sixth on the list. It's true. You know, for all her attention, I don't see a lot of girls out there wearing the weird pigtails, carrying giant foam fingers. It's not like she's not a fashion plate that everyone's sort of emulating like they did Madonna and other high-caliber pop stars who got that kind of attention.
Yeah, they sort of look at her and just go, all right.
Okay. All right, if that's your thing,
good
enjoy.
You
go do that a little further away from me, please. I don't want to have to get any shots. Pope Benedict.
What?
Yeah.
How could he be the least influential?
I don't know either.
Wow.
Maybe because his tact, the things he's been sort of making his high-profile issues fly in the face of a lot of ultra-conservative Catholics, which is sort of his core base.
Right.
So they're not really changing their minds based on what he said. And the people who sort of agree with him aren't that religious and aren't necessarily Catholic in the first place.
Huh.
So maybe sitting between two chairs, not really having influence on either group that he's addressing. That's the only way I could rationalize
that. That's weird.
That.
Okay.
Because, you know, a lot of Catholics are like, geez, this isn't my dad's Catholicism.
No, I mean, he's this close to going out there and just kissing a dude.
He really is. And they're like, wait a minute. This is not what I signed up for when I put the cross on. Anthony Weiner. Yeah, he's
sure.
I'm sorry. I skipped over number four. Number four, Justin Bieber.
Uh-huh.
Justin Bieber's fourth least influential person of this year.
Fantastic.
Anthony Weiner was third. Paula Deen was number two, which I thought was interesting. That's true. I've not gone around using the N-word.
I'm going to have her cater my Southern Plantation Christmas, though. Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you that.
Maybe a good idea. And the number one biggest celebrity who influences people the least this year is Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman for all of his world travels.
And being an ambassador for America.
Ambassador to the ills. Whatever ills you.
That's a funny list.
Yeah, very funny list. But it was well done. Here's a guy I think I should have been on the list, Kanye West.
Yeah, I thought maybe that would be him.
He should have been. Listen to what happened Saturday at his show in Madison Square Garden. Apparently, he went off on a lengthy rant about his feud with a former creative director of Christian Dior, who now works for Yves Saint Laurent. You know, it's funny.
I'm sure his audience cared about that.
Jay Moore always mocks.
Yeah.
Frontmen who get up there like Eddie Vedder or Springsteen or Bono or whatever, who talk about charity and the underprivileged and politics and at least they're talking about something. How would you like to be sitting in the crowd at a Kanye West concert and he does 40 minutes on his feud with a designer? at what point do you say, enough?
I'm out.
Here was the feud. He was a friend of mine once in the time of Christian Dior. Oh, that's my favorite book in the Bible.
Sure.
And I used to wear his tight-ass jeans when I was on tour and get called names for it. And Hedy Salame was a god who didn't serve no bull s. But it takes a god to recognize another god. So when he told me, you can come to my show, but you can't come to see designer Phoebe Philo, and you can't come to see designer Richie Chichi, that was odd. He tried to control me. He tried to tell me where I could go. And apparently went on and on about how angry he was at this designer.
How boring that must have been for those people sitting there.
Yeah.
Sing Gold Digger. Do Stronger and Shut Up.
You know what it reminds me of? I'm thinking of it reminds me a little of a waste of time.
Mm. But he's a creative genius, so I'm sure we just didn't see the
what could be
the point. Today's celebrity birthdays, Natasha Bedingfield.
Oh, yeah.
She was white hot there for a second.
She was.
I thought she was a talented lady. She probably still is. 32 years old today. Actor Peter Facinelli. He's 40 years old today. Doesn't know how to use a phone.
No.
But he's 40. You'd think by 40 he would learn how to call somebody on time. Actress Kristen Bauer. Remember her from 40, 42?
Oh, wait. Who am I thinking of?
I'm thinking 24. Kristen Bauer, wasn't she on 24?
True Blood, I'm being told.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, my bad. I'm thinking of Jack Bauer.
Sure.
That's what threw me. She's 47 years old today. Bassist John McVie of the legendary Fleetwood Mac is 68 years old today. And singer Tina Turner celebrates her 74th birthday today. You know, I was thinking about to get her for her birthday. I was going to get her a hero, but then I heard she doesn't need another hero. Come on!
Smile.
We don't need another hero!
We get it.
We don't need another hero!
Right, we get it.
I don't think you get it.
No, we do.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
What about Kobe Bryant's new $48.5 million deal? We'll talk to the former sports guy of the Kevin and Bean Show, Matt Money Smith, in just a few minutes. First, though, I'm going to have me a cotton ball for breakfast.
We have a game for you. This is a Twitter game. It's Justin or Jaden. Justin Bieber.
Equally douchey.
Jaden Smith.
Well, so we're going to look at their tweets.
Yep.
And then we have to guess who said what.
Correct. Is it Justin or Jaden?
Okay.
Will Smith's kid. So let's do it.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in to the new game that's sweeping the nation, where we read dumbass celebrity tweets and you try to tell us who it is. Week, your choices are
Justin or Jaden. Is Justin or Jaden? They both are big douchey douchebags.
You know, ordinarily I would say anyone who follows Justin Bieber is a douchebag himself, but that's most of the people on Twitter, apparently. Isn't he, Ralph, number one or number two in terms of followers?
I believe he is.
He's number two, yeah.
He and Gaga.
Right there at the top, yeah. So apparently people must see something in his tweets they like, but let's give it a try.
Look, people don't follow people because they like their tweets. They follow them because they're fans or they're a celebrity or something.
Yeah.
He's not offering up anything, I guarantee it.
All right, so if it's Justin Bieber, this is going to be the sounder.
What'd you say? You want to beat the out of you.
Oh, yeah, he's so tough.
That's Justin when he was really, really getting in a
fight. What'd you say? What'd you say, bro?
And if it's Jaden, it's this.
It's the coolest of the coolest.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So let's go. The first tweet is posting some pics.
Posting some pics.
That just seems like Justin.
That
to
is
me.
Justin.
He's
I agree.
All about his shirtless pics.
Yeah, Justin.
I'm going to go for the early lead here and just go the other way, just because, and say Jaden.
What'd you say? You want to beat the out of you?
And, yeah. And Bean takes last place.
Yes, I do.
I hate when Bean just goes the other way, just trying to win. It just sucks all the fun out of the game.
But that's what I do sometimes, too.
I know.
We play to win,
no,
man.
No, you're not winning anything. Why are you bothering? Play the play. Don't just be arbitrary.
That tweet, if I had any inkling one way or another, but that's such a 50-50 toss-up. I mean, it didn't matter what I guessed.
Ricky Bobby's dad told him, you're the first or you're last. Or something like that.
Good quote.
I don't remember what the quote was. All right, here's the next tweet. Be different.
I'm going to say Jaden on this one because he thinks he's like the advisor to young kids.
He is the spiritual guru for 14-year-olds everywhere, so he's telling people be different.
Bean?
I'm going to go with it just for the early lead.
I agree with the room. I'm going to go with Jaden.
It's the coolest of the coolest.
Good choice.
Yep.
Good choice. All right, this one's impossible. So good luck with this. Peace and love.
Jaden again.
Yeah, Jaden. Absolutely.
It's the coolest of the coolest.
Why was that so easy? I thought that was
about that spiritual stuff, but I've never heard Bieber say peace and love.
Right, I haven't either.
All right, Food Inc.
Food Inc. Oh,
that's it. That's
movie.
The whole.
It's
that's the whole
movie,
tweet.
And it's Jaden.
Food Inc.
That's the whole tweet, yes, Bean.
I agree with Lisa. I think that's something that his parents being involved in active in causes would sit down and watch as a family. I don't think Justin would have any exposure to a documentary about farming.
No.
Again, seeing as Jaden sees himself as a spiritual leader for the youth of America, I agree that he would be talking about that documentary.
It's the coolest
and well
the coolest.
Pretty well done.
Yeah.
I'm so proud.
Ooh. Oh, that's got to be Justin. That's got to be Justin.
Do they have a three-word limit on their Twitter? Are they different from the rest of us? Come on, give us a sentence.
I'm so proud. That is a sentence.
I think Justin's proud of himself because he was out there building schools and stuff.
I agree. I think it's totally Justin.
He thinks he's hip.
Jaden.
What'd you say? You want to beat the out of you.
All right, Ralph's in the
lead. Ralph takes the lead. Woo! Ralph has two, Lisa has one, Dean has one. All right, here's another one. You ready? I'm going to put you down. I-M-A.
I'ma.
I'ma put you down.
I'ma put you down.
Seems like a Justin to me.
I don't know. Jaden can be
combative.
He can be spunky sometimes. Yeah.
I'm gonna go with Justin.
I'ma put you down.
Boy, that's a tough one.
It's kind of thing Justin would say,
right?
But not the kind of thing he would tweet. Usually, he tweets all kinds of reconciliatory things after he tries to go at someone. This is hard.
What are you gonna do, Bean?
I think I'm gonna go with Jaden on this one.
All right.
I'm going to put you down.
Really, Ralph, it's not worth as much time.
No, I know.
But if Ralph gets this correct and the other people
well, yes,
don't,
and
he
you
wins.
Are playing for $1 million, so take your time.
No, I'm just torn.
We need an answer, Mr. Garvin. Justin, say Justin.
What'd you say?
You're the one.
Justin it is.
Woo!
And Ralph wins the game.
Woo! Well done.
Nicely done.
Hey, thanks a lot for playing.
Justin or Jaden is Justin or Jaden. They both are big douchey douchebags. Yeah.
Next hour here on the Kevin Beach Show, our friend Bobby Slayton, he is the pit bull of comedy, will be joining us. So, $48.5 million for 2 years for Kobe Bryant, who will be, what, 38 when the contract is up? Let's see what Matt Money Smith from AM 570 KLAC has to say about it. Good morning, Money. How are you, buddy?
What's happening, Bean? What's happening, Kevin?
You know,
I feel like the Lakers were in a tough spot in that if they didn't pony up and Kobe left to go to another franchise, it would be a disaster for public relations for the city. But then they spend all this money and now they can't afford to surround him with anybody that can help him win. So what were they supposed to do?
Well, that's a pretty good way to put it. I think this is an acknowledgement that nobody's coming. And by nobody, I mean LeBron James. I think they're really interested in Carmelo, and even if they were, I still don't think he's coming because I don't think Kobe wants to play with him. They're both, you know, two ball-dominant players that are volume shooters, so that wouldn't have worked, and that's it. You know, outside of that, you're talking about free agents that'll probably command somewhere between $7 and $12 million for the good ones and, you know, $4 to $6 million for the mediocre ones.
And do the Lakers have the money for that now?
Yeah, I mean, they still do. They just don't, you know, what they've been selling us on was summer of 2014, and that was basically code word for LeBron James will be a free agent if you
right.
stop that. So once they realized that wasn't happening, and this is my problem with kind of the assessment of Kobe should have done what Tim Duncan did. He took a pay cut down to $9 million. Well, Tim Duncan has Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili and all those guys that needed to get re-upped, and they're still very, very good. You know, and they were still contending for championships. The Lakers have been swept out of the playoffs two of the last three seasons.
Right.
And haven't been, so they don't have those guys. So this, you know, in terms of a public relations business standpoint, the Lakers give Kobe that giant pay cut and then sign nobody. You know, that's the whole Tom Brady thing. Oh, can you believe they asked him to take less money and then Wes Welker leaves? You know, that's kind of the situation they're in. So short-term deal, a whole bunch of scratch. Butts in the seats because they're going to watch Kobe chase the all-time points record and one record after another for career milestones, and that's how they'll make their money.
I didn't really understand the LeBron James talk because it's not like they were going after him in a city like Cleveland. I mean, he was in Miami, which is a great city where he's winning championships. What would his incentive even be to want to come to Los Angeles?
Nobody cares in Miami. I mean, that might be exaggerating it a little bit, but really nobody cares about the Heat. You know, when you're in Los Angeles, you're talking about, you know, Lakers history and being part of Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Wilt Chamberlain and Jerry West. There's just it's a different city to win it. It's like winning a World Series for the Yankees instead of the Marlins. Now,
right, I see.
Times have changed, and before you couldn't really be a global brand and do your business in Miami or Oklahoma City or Cleveland, but that's different now.
Yeah.
You know, you can. With social media, LeBron James can be the most underpaid player in the history of sports because they can't pay him enough. And even though he's in Miami, everybody still knows who he is, loves him, and wants to buy everything he tells you to buy.
this contract was signed after Kobe had practiced a couple of pretty good days. But even now, though, he still cuts it short because his foot hurts. I mean, what's the future of that Achilles tendon?
That's the interesting part. Why now? You know, why did this deal have to get done now? You know, nobody could sign him. He's under contract with the Lakers. And, you know, Kobe's position was, well, you know, this is the deal they offered me, so I took it. They said they had a plan, and this was the number they gave me, and I said, sure. Well, that's not what happened.
That's not what happened.
Yeah, Rob Pelinka should be punched in the balls, his agent.
Why, what happened?
Well, I'm sure that this was the number they agreed on. You know, okay, I'm making 31. I'll take 24. Everybody's happy. And I'm sure he probably wanted this out of the way because he doesn't know how he's going to look when he comes back. And this is sort of protection for Kobe of, hey, what if I go out there? You know, and I have a couple friends that are orthopedic surgeons, and I asked them about this injury, and their position is, look, everybody has the same mentality. If anybody can do it, Kobe can. But the numbers aren't in his favor.
Yeah.
You know, the odds are against him. He's, you know, everybody keeps quoting on this Dominique Wilkins. Well, he was 32 when he came back, and, well, yeah, he played 27,000 minutes. Kobe's played 54,000 minutes.
Yeah.
Oof. I mean, that's a bit of a difference, as in double. So this is unprecedented. If he comes back and performs at a high level, it will be unprecedented. And my guess is he wanted this deal done now just in case. It's not going
to
work.
To provide him with the safety net of not being able to play very well?
Well, you know, I mean, when you've only amassed $277 million in salary in your career,
yeah,
you've got to pay another 48
and a half.
You
That's
know?
True.
This is the voice of Matt Money Smith from AM570. We're talking about the Kobe Bryant deal that was just announced yesterday. Hey, the Lakers without Kobe have done pretty well. They're playing about 500, right?
They should be worse. You know, and I mean that like they should actively try to be worse. And that's because there's, you know, like I said, LeBron James isn't coming. The only way this team, you know, you think about the cycle of the Lakers, right? And you know, it was Jerry West and Will Chamberlain. And then you have this lull. And then, oh, what do you know? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar doesn't want to be a Milwaukee Buck anymore. Then you get Kareem. And
right.
then you win a coin toss and get Magic Johnson.
Right.
And then, you know, then Magic retires because of AIDS. And then James Worthy has an injury. And then you're in this lull. And then, oh, what do you know? Shaq's a free agent. That moment isn't here now. I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing Kevin Durant. Maybe it'll be Kevin Love because he loves Los Angeles and his uncle's here and all that sort of stuff. I don't know, but I think this team needs to draft that player. It needs to be 1996. Kobe Bryant with the 13th pick turns into a dominant player, and this is the draft to do it. They have got to get in the lottery. I mean, cheering for this team to make the playoffs, I know it goes against everything a fan's supposed to do. You want your team to win, but this lottery and these guys that are coming out in this draft are so freaking good that you better get your ass in there and try to get your hands on one of them because that's how this team can rebuild.
Do you think, for real, a team would throw it to get that draft pick?
Okay, here's what I'll tell you.
Yeah.
In late March to mid-April, when you have teams like the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics and the Atlanta, and you look at that Eastern Conference, and there is, and to get into the playoffs, I'm telling you, you will only have to win about 35 games. You can be a bad team and get in.
Okay.
You are going to see teams lose games 2-0. I mean, it's going to be.
If that happens, I will love it.
Just because they can't afford not to be in the lottery and not get those ping pong balls and end up in the 8th spot and not even have a shot at it. I mean, that's how bad it's going to be, and that's how good these players coming out are.
Very interesting. All right, we're going to have to leave it there for right now. Weekday afternoons with our good friend Petros. That's Matt Money Smith, 3 to 7 on Fox Sports Radio, AM 570. We appreciate the time, dude.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, and it's 5 till 7.
27 hours from right now, by the way, is the deadline to get your photos and application in to be Miss Double December 2014. If you'd like to represent the show throughout the year next year with Acoustic Christmas and the Weenie Roast and April Foolishness, Kevin and Bean Singles Parties, just fill out the application. Put them on the glass, shake them for freedom, do everything you need to do.
I don't think you need to put them on the glass, although that may come later.
You can get all those details at krock.com, and then you'll be crowned Miss Double December 2014, December 13th at the Slide Bar in Fullerton. Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on here on this Tuesday?
Keep in mind, you'll also need to have a high creepy threshold.
Yeah.
You need a high tolerance to the old creeptastic.
Oh, because of Lisa and the way she leers? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what
I've
it
been
is.
Referring to.
By the way, I imagine most hot chicks are used to that. They've already built up some.
But that's like saying
some tolerance.
Saying Bean's creepy is like any regular guy in a bar being creepy at
right.
you. It's like saying, okay, you look into this flashlight and then look into the sun. And it's like you're saying, well, a girl looked into the flashlight. She should be able to stare at the sun for a couple hours. No.
All right.
No, one is annoying. The other will lead to permanent blindness.
How dare you? Nothing creepy about me. Lisa, am I creepy?
A little.
Thank you. Thank you.
And she only said a little because she's really nice.
Nice. Right. That's her being nice.
That's her having your back.
I talked this week about the Kim Kardashian and what a whore she is. And
I'm sorry, who? I didn't hear.
Sorry.
Who?
Porn star Kim Kardashian.
Yes.
About that eBay page she put up of her having a garage sale, basically selling off all her designer clothing. But the proceeds are going to the victims of the typhoon in the Philippines.
And then you read the small print.
And then you get to the bottom, it goes, 10% of all the proceeds will go to actually people who need it. Yeah. Well, here's some people who are doing it right. How about Incubus, my friends?
All right.
They are stepping up and raising money for relief efforts for those folks who are suffering in the Philippines. Incubus and an organization called the Make Yourself Foundation are teaming up to raise money for relief efforts. For every dollar you donate to the organization, Incubus will match it dollar for dollar.
Wow. Nice.
It's pretty strong. Pretty strong indeed. They're also giving away
up to a maximum of $5.
That's right. First five people only. They're giving away a ton of band memorabilia and merchandise to those who are able to contribute. It is a great event. You can learn more about it by going to the band's website and get all the information. But I thought it was very cool of them to do a matchy-matchy kind of thing for that everybody is cool. Who's donating cash to the relief effort. Very strong. That's what you do for your fellow man. Mm-hmm. How about doing something for yourself this year? As you know, Thanksgiving is 2 days away.
Right.
Then Friday.
Black Friday.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And that's when the shopping starts. Here's right. What you get not only for yourself, but for your loved ones. Just in time for the holiday season, George Takei has released his fragrance.
Nope.
His personal fragrance.
Nope.
Yep.
Oh, I know what I'm getting you now for this.
Yeah.
Nope.
George Takei is being released on December the 15th. Just in time to fill some stockings.
Nope.
It's both for men and women, so it's perfect for everyone.
Smells like donkey ass.
No, it does not.
Man cannon.
No, it doesn't smell like man cannon either.
That's a terrible idea.
It's a refreshing fragrance for men and women. George says it's subtle and charming, with top notes of mandarin zest, Italian bergamot, and then fresh ozone, transitioning into a night-blooming jasmine with white freesia petals and then grated ginger. They're sensual woods with undertones of crystallized amber, soft skin musk, and it will delight you.
I don't even know what that is.
The name of George's signature fragrance?
Yeah.
Oh, my. That's what it's
no,
called.
No, it
oh
is.
Oh, my.
Is it really? It's called Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Well, are you familiar with the French term?
That's awesome.
Eau de cologne.
No, but go ahead.
E-A-U is the French word.
Okay.
And so that's how he's spelling it. E-A-U. Oh, my.
Oh, my.
I like that.
Oh, my. So you can pick that up this holiday season.
I find that offensive.
Come on, George.
It's your own thing.
It's your own fragrance. It's for men and women. Unlike George himself, it's for men and women.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Yes, I did. I went there, George.
Set phaser for fabulous.
Man cannon.
Not man cannon. Today's celebrity birthdays. Natasha Bedingfield. She's 32 years old today.
She's the one who did that unwritten song. The theme for The Hills, remember?
Yes.
That was her. That was her big number one record.
Yes. I was getting her confused with the chick who did Been Around the World and I Can't Find My Baby. What was her name?
Right, Lisa Stansfield.
Lisa Stansfield. This is Lisa Bedingfield. Very different field.
Natasha Bedingfield.
Strawberry Fields.
I can see why you get Natasha Bedingfield and Lisa Stansfield confused.
Yeah, there's too many fields. Field of Dreams? What am I talking about? She's 32 years old today. Peter Facinelli. You know him, of course, from the Twilight franchise and from Nurse Jackie. And from, more importantly, that fast car show he did.
Fast car show?
Yeah, with Bill Bellamy.
Top Gear?
No.
Fast
they
car
were,
show.
They were cops who played by their own rules. Glick and Sleeve.
Oh, right.
Glick and Sleeve. That's right. I forgot about that.
That was the name of that show. We loved that show.
Was it Fastlane?
Fastlane.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not worth the effort.
Nope. Wish I hadn't gone there. Bassist John McVie of Fleetwood Mac is 68 years old today, and singer Tina Turner celebrates her 74th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So how early do you have to be on Twitter, Kevin, do you think, to get a three-letter Twitter handle? Let's find out from our next guest. He is a senior writer at Wired. His name is Matt Honan. You can follow him on Twitter at M-A-T. Matt, how'd you do that?
It's like you said, I signed up early. I got on, I think, in the late summer, early fall of 2006, and you could have your pick of names.
Pretty much anything, huh?
That's 2006. Man, none of us had ever heard of Twitter by then, but you're one of those fancy tech guys in San Francisco, right?
I don't know about fancy, but yeah, sure.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We've been talking off the air a little bit about this, and I think we need some help from a professional about it. Seems like every couple of months something else comes out that sounds scary from Facebook in terms of how much they know about us, in terms of how privacy settings work or don't work. And we get a little bit confused about what they're up to. But this new story that we're hearing about this new hover tracking is really fascinating to us. Can you tell us a little bit about it, Matt?
Sure. Basically, last week, they told the Wall Street Journal that they were looking into doing hover tracking, where they track where your mouse pointer is on your screen. So, you know, let's say you're moving your hand around on your trackpad or your mouse around, and the arrow moves around the screen, and they want to know where it's going.
Let me just butt in there, if you don't mind. You're not clicking on it.
You're not clicking on it. They just want to know where it is on the screen. They want to be able to see where your cursor is, and they think that by looking at that, they can figure out better ways to keep you on the site is basically what it comes down to.
Why would somebody hover with their cursor if they weren't going to eventually click on something, though?
Well, a lot of times it sort of gives you an idea of what someone's intent is. And maybe someone hovers over something because they're confused by it. You know, like, do I click on this? No, I'm going to move on to click on that. And knowing that people may be doing something accidentally where they don't want them to go is as valuable as knowing that people are doing something where they do want them to go. They may see how long you hover over a photograph before you click on it. And like maybe if they use that along with some A-B testing that tests like a slightly larger image and people click through more often, or a slightly smaller image and they click through.
I'm not a computer expert, so you might need to dumb this down. But how can they tell where my mouse is hovering?
I don't know exactly what method they would use, but I think basically there are all kinds of ways that you can do it with the Java language. And basically it's just a little piece of code that you have to put in, and you can track it. There are all kinds of sites out there now that are already doing this, I believe including Google.
Okay. Now, we get Facebook for free, so we do have to expect that they have to figure out some way to make money off of us, right?
And if this is... Yeah.
Right. Exactly. We're the product. Right. So if this is one way that they've decided to do it, should I be concerned about it? Is it a problem for me?
I don't think so. I mean, honestly, I think one of Facebook's biggest issues is that people are prone to distrust them. You know, like, oh my gosh, what's Facebook doing now?
Right.
This can't be good. And I'm not so sure that this is something that should necessarily be alarming. This seems to me more like a way that they're just trying to figure out the way to best present the site to you in a way that's going to keep you there by figuring out where you go and what you do. If you think about it, like let's say you're spending a lot of time like moving your mouse around over in the corner of the screen trying to find the right link, or you're moving your mouse around, you know, over the little bar on the left that pops up, and they can figure out a way to make that faster and easier for you to get through. That's probably a good thing for you as a user.
Yeah, I would think so, too. And I'm, you know, look, advertising is a part of life online. As I mentioned, you know, so many sites that we go to are free, and the banner ads and the commercials and everything else that we go through, that's how they make their money. I would much rather them target those commercials and banner ads to my interests rather than not. I mean, that's right. Better. That's a better user experience for me. If they're going to pop up Arcade Fire's album is out now, as opposed to, you know, some piece of hardware that I don't care about.
No, it's true. It's you know, you want to get good ads. But the other thing, though, that you want to do is you don't want your ads to be kind of creepy. You know, like you can go and look at something on one site and maybe put it in a shopping cart, or maybe not even put it in a shopping cart, but look at something on one site and then show up on Facebook and have an ad for that same product there, and that can tend to creep people out.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
That happens.
Yeah. Overall, how fair do you think Facebook is to its users in terms of respecting privacy where it is important, Matt?
I think overall Facebook needs to do a better job of keeping things consistent. I think that's their big problem. I think Facebook has good privacy protections in place, but they are always changing them. And, you know, I think Facebook could do a much better job of saying, okay, you want all your stuff to be just friends only from now on? click this button and it'll never change, you know, and it stays like that. And that's something it hasn't done a great job with. And it's because of that that people are like, oh, wait, now you're doing hover tracking? What does that mean for me?
Yeah, so people get a little freaked out when Facebook changes stuff because they do it too much.
Right. Yeah, I think that's Facebook's core problem. They're always changing the way the privacy settings work, and it messes with people's heads.
All right, last question for you, and this is the voice of Matt Honan here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's the senior writer for Wired. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt or at Wired. How long until they can use my webcam to see what I'm wearing or not wearing when I'm at my computer?
How long ago, he means.
Right, yeah, well, I mean, you're asking that in jest, like, that's actually totally possible.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Wait, it's
totally,
to
hold
here.
On, it's totally possible now?
It's totally possible.
Without
now,
the little green light going on?
It depends on your computer. Sometimes, some of the computers, the little green light is hardwired to the camera. Some of them, it's not.
All right. I have got to start wearing a shirt when I'm online. That's
good times. I
got to
start wearing underwear.
All right, Matt. Yeah. Thank you so much for the time. We enjoyed talking to you. Happy holidays, sir.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bobby Slayton is the pit bull of comedy, and you can see him this Saturday at the Hollywood Improv on stage at 8 p.m. Tickets are only $18, by the way. Go to improv.com. Hey, Bobby. How are you, my friend?
Hi, fellas. Gals. Hey.
$18.
Happy holidays.
That's underpriced.
By the way, the world-famous improv, you know, not that this has anything to do with anything, but, you know, the founder, Bud Friedman, you know, when I moved out here from New York, you know, I went to the Improv. You went to the Improv at the Comedy Store. And I went to the Improv. And I guess tonight he's on Jimmy Fallon plugging this special 50 years of the Improv. And, you know, so it's a great club. And I'm doing a show called Bobby Slayton and Friends. Now, here's what's interesting, because people ask me all the time, you know, when you do the Kevin and Bean show, being a comic, is it hard to get up early in the morning? And I go, no, you know, ever since I had dogs and my daughter was born, I don't mind getting up early in the morning. Is it tough to deal with hecklers, Bobby? Is it tough to write new material? I'll tell you the toughest thing. Saturday night, Bobby Slayton and Friends, it was hard to find friends.
That's what I was
wondering. That was one of the hardest things in my 35 years of comedy is to find friends. Not that I don't have any friends, but I like, a lot of my friends are not comics. A few of my friends are in New York. And then
well,
the
most
others,
of your friends are dead at your age, though,
and
right?
Dead. And then, yeah, there you go. And then the other half are imaginary friends. So none of these people are really conducive to a show with Bobby Slayton and Friends at the Improv this weekend. But I'm going to do it. And people need to. Oh, by the way, let me tell you something else. I didn't come out to plug this, but one of the toughest jobs ever for a stand-up comic, when I started doing this a long time ago, was opening for rock and roll bands. And
that seems horrible.
Oh, it is not only horrible, but it is.
Why do they even have anyone do that?
Do they anymore? I don't think they do.
I don't know if they do anymore. Well, the reason that whole thing started is that when you're a band and you're playing in a club, and a lot of times the band would have to pay for the opening act to bring an opening act along, or a lot of times the band wasn't getting that much money they wanted at all, but you need an opening act to warm them up. To have another band on stage, and you know, which could threaten the headliner,
right.
It's also you got to move equipment, and the dressing rooms are the size of a closet.
Right.
And
there's
a million reasons.
So who did you open for?
Oh my God, who did I open for? Well, back in the late 70s, when the whole punk thing started with the Sex Pistols, over a band called the Stranglers from England, who were the
really?
Punkiest. Yeah. But here's how this all started.
That's impressive.
I was living in San Francisco, and it was me and Robin Williams, Dana Carvey, Kevin Pollak. I don't know what happened to them. You don't see them on Getting Up in the Morning.
That's true.
Lazy bastard. But there were a lot of comics, and nobody really wanted to open it for bands. And Kevin Pollak and Robin would open for the Beach Boys and Pablo Cruz. They're basically Boy Scouts. Anybody could do this.
Right.
I mean, even that wasn't easy. Opening for a band is never easy. But there were jobs that nobody wanted to take. There was Blue Oyster Cult, and there was but I would open up for Ray Charles and the Four Tops. I would open up for Warren Zevon. I opened up for, oh my God, the Tubes. You know, remember White Punks on Dope?
Sure.
I think I opened up for Social Distortion. Opened up for a lot of bands.
What? Bobby, how have we known you for all these years and you've never told us any of these stories
Wait
before?
A second. You should know
this
that.
I sent you some. Fascinating.
I sent you my book, which is a whole other.
You sent me a couple chapters of the book, but nowhere were you opening for freaking Blue Oyster Cult. That wasn't in the part you sent me.
I didn't get that chapter either.
Understand that I sent it to you. I knew you wouldn't get it.
What's it like? So you get hired by let me use Warren Zevon as an example because he's a personal hero of mine, one of my all time favorite
him.
Artists.
Loved him.
All right, so he makes the choice that he wants you to open. He signs off on you being his opening act.
No, sometimes people had their opening acts. Like I know there was a guy named Glenn, Mr. Bullhorn Super, used to open up for the Beach Boys.
And, I remember him. Sure.
And Dennis Blair would tour with George Carlin, who wasn't a band, but sometimes bands have their comedians because they know the guy is going to be safe. He's going to be clean. He's not.
So what did a guy like Warren Zevon think about you being on the bill? Was he happy that you were there? Did he ignore you? Did you pal around with him?
To be honest with you, before as about two or three times, and I think I met him maybe once. You know, I never went into the dressing room. I didn't want to bother these guys. And Bill Graham, the late Bill Graham, who owned the Fillmore, who had the club up there, he was the guy that used to hire me, his company, because they could pay a comic anywhere from $25 to $75 to open for a band.
Wow.
So, yeah, by the way, I thought I sent you that chapter when I opened up, when I hosted the Bay Area Music Awards. I got booed off the stage by Journey, and they, we had a...
You got booed off the stage, but by Journey?
By Journey.
Journey booed you?
Journey, yeah. But wait, for me, I'm getting so ahead of myself. Bean, didn't I send you that chapter called Raging
Bully?
Huh?
No.
Okay, I'm going to send
when
that you
When you go
today.
Home today. Okay. By the way, the chapters that Bobby's referring to is he is writing a book that's going to come out next year that's going to be all about his crazy, incredible life in show business.
It's
with
been
all these
years. 35 years in show business, hell.
And he is not pulling punches, and he is naming names. It's not going to be one of those sanitized autobiographies where people don't want to say things because they're going to lose friends. Right. Bobby's already lost all those friends.
Right.
So
I'm trying
he
to
can
find
talk
some
about
of them because it's Bobby's friends this Saturday. No, I'm going to send you that chapter today, Bean. And next time I come back in February to plug another gig where we can talk about that. But anyway, so opening for bands was really, really difficult. So I was getting a little cocky because I did okay opening for these bands. You know, no comic. It's like riding the mechanical bull. It's not, you're going to get thrown off. It's just how long you can stay on.
Right.
And usually, but Warren Zevon happened to be, his audience was really cool because they were kind of, they were adults.
Well, they were stoned.
They were stoned, but they weren't crazy. The Stranglers now, you got to remember, I go up on stage, and this is a... I've never been heckled like this. The things that they were saying to me, I could deal with hecklers, but the things they were saying was beyond human comprehension, and I really didn't last that long. And I you know, when
they
you see,
ran you off,
when
like
you, see,
you quit your set early.
I don't remember because it was a long time ago. Yeah. When you see people whose faces are pierced, and before neck tattoos were hip in the Hispanic and you know prison population, people had neck tattoos. They had it was. You look at people go. If the audience is going to do that to themselves, what are they going to do to me? Okay. Now, not only was that a tough gig, but I'll tell you what could be even tougher. This Thursday, and I do this every year with a lot of other comics, the Laugh Factory, the world famous Laugh Factory, much like the world famous K-Rock.
Right.
People don't know you're related.
We made up the name like they did.
Right. Every Thanksgiving and every Christmas, they feed the homeless. And comedians come by. And I think most of them do it. It's not to get pressed, but Dom Herrera, Dane Cook, there's a lot of comics that show up to feed the homeless. And you really have, it's really kind of sad. And every year, I look at them, and I feel myself inching closer and closer to these people as far as I'm going crazy, and I'm going to lose my home soon. But anyway.
Yeah, you're going to be on the other side of that food line in a couple of years.
But here's the thing.
Dane Cook, can I have some dinner?
Dave Cook.
It's not just the homeless. Anybody's welcome. And there's older people show up, families show up, comedians show up, and they don't turn anybody away.
Okay.
And they go through thousands of turkeys. But the hardest thing about feeding the homeless is what we have to do at the end of each shift. You feed the people, it's about 60 minutes, and the comedians do a half-hour show, and they bring in the next group.
Okay.
So we have to perform in front of these people. Now, number one, as a comic, you got to keep it clean, which is hard enough for me because there's kids there.
Sure.
Okay? And there's families there. But worse than getting heckled by punk bands, are there people in the audience? Now, this is tough for a comic when people talk among themselves and have their backs turned to you.
And they're not paying attention?
Yeah, but if you heckle me, I can deal with it.
Right.
If people are having conversations, these self-centered people, that's hard to deal with. But you have the homeless people. This happened to me last year. I hear some guy next to me talking. This guy's not that funny. The other guy's going, I think he is pretty funny. You know what? I've heard this joke before. I look over. It's a guy talking to himself. So they're having conversations with themselves. That's how nutty these people
and
are.
And disagreeing on your comedy.
I think he did this joke last year. I don't think he did. Now, what am I supposed to do? I can't tell you two to shut up. I mean, these are homeless, crazy people. So that
All
was
right.
that might
Bobby,
have been tough.
Let me put you on hold right there, my friend. We have to take a quick break. Bobby Slade, the Pitbull of Comedy, is here, and he will be on stage at the Hollywood Improv this Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Tickets available through improv.com. And it really is Bobby Slade and friends,
yes.
Right? So you're going to have... Okay.
Yes.
Get your tickets to see him Saturday night. We'll be right back on the world-famous K-Rock. Our friend Bobby Slade in studio with us now. He's at the Hollywood Improv this Saturday night. Tickets available through improv.com. Just $18. By the way, David Spade next hour. Do you know him, Bobby?
David Spade, I have a chapter in my book. We're talking about that. David Spade opened up for me a couple times many years ago. Ray Romano, Roseanne Barr, Patton Oswalt, John Stewart.
Are you just listing comedians? Or
yes, they've opened up for me.
They've opened for you.
They've all opened for me, and they've gone on to
fame. Oh, how depressing for you, Bobby.
Why is that depressing?
Well,
Well, let me
tell
you why.
Look at him.
I've helped all these people. Let me tell you why. There was a woman named Typhoid Mary, which I'm sure Bina's familiar with, who never had typhoid. I guess she was a nurse, but she carried it. She was a carrier, never had it herself, but everybody she came in contact with, she gave it to them. I have a chapter in my book called Typhoid Bobby. I carry the same gene. Everybody that comes in contact with me becomes famous. I never become famous.
So you stay where you are, and then everybody just plays leapfrog over you.
Well, exactly. I mean, look, you don't have a lot of comics on your show come in. I know you have me, you have Patton Oswalt, Jay Moore, and those guys have something to plug. I have nothing to plug, but you know what? I try to be interesting. I try to be funny.
What are you talking about? You have nothing to plug. You have Saturday Night to plug.
I forgot. I thought you might have forgotten about that. Bobby Slay, 10 o'clock at the Improv. No, but anyway, so I know David Spade. And ask him if he thinks that, but nobody has ever come around and done anything for me, even though I've made them all famous.
So I'm sure that you are responsible for David Spade's success, Bobby. I'm sure you're reading that one properly.
No, I'm just saying that everybody who's been my opening act has gone on to greatness. So
that is very impressive.
That's all.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. We had the very fine actor and, in general, just a great human being, Terry Crews, on the show yesterday. You know him, former football player. He's an actor now, big time. He's on that Brooklyn Nine-Nine show,
opened
Bobby.
Opened up for
that.
Me. That's why he's famous.
We were asking him the secret to his Hollywood success. 24 years he's been married to his bride. 24 years.
Yes.
And he says it's a lot of work. How long you been married now, Bobby?
Well, you know, this January is 26 years.
26. Can you imagine that poor woman?
No.
I hope she's deaf.
Well, you know what it is?
Oh, I'm sure she is by now.
First of all, they say never go to bed angry. And I don't get any sleep the way it is. I always if I had to go to bed happy, I can't imagine how
you die in a week.
But it's not just my wife. You know what I do when I go on stage is I try to help people. Yeah, I can't tell you how many guys come to my show and they'll go, "I just got married, Bobby," or I was on a first date, I was with my fiance, and she hated you and she walked out and whatever. And I say to the guy, "I guarantee you, the next time you come back to see me, you'll be thanking me." And 99% of the time, you know what it's like. Oh, I got to tell you something. Okay, before I go, I know we only have a few minutes. The last time I was on the show, you won't remember this. You might. The last time I was on the show, I was about to thank Bean. We were on a 10-minute roll, at least an imaginary role in my head.
Sure.
And as we're about to leave, I thank Bean for that Blu-ray collection you gave me last year
of
all
that.
The Universal horror movies. And I started talking about The Bride of Frankenstein. And you said to me, "Bobby, your time is up." And I had this joke, and I never got to finish it. And now I need closure. I need closure. It's bothered me for months.
Wait, this has bothered you for that long?
For months. Closure. But it wasn't that great of a joke. But here's my...
Well, then why would you go back to it?
Because he's talking about women. And here's how my opinion of women was formed at an early age. Okay. I'm not that misogynistic or sexist. But okay, I love monsters as a kid. And as much as I like sports, the World Series comes on, I'd rather watch The Creature from the Black Lagoon. The Super Bowl comes on, I'd rather watch The Mummy. Okay, so Bean gives me, last year, this great Blu-ray collection. The other night I'm watching, I finally get to see...
Oh, I'm sorry, we got to go.
Okay, exactly. Bride of Frankenstein. And there you go. That's what women are all about to me. You bring a woman back from the dead, she's living in a castle for free, and she still won't put out. Now, that wasn't that great of a joke, but I needed closure. And by the way, closure is something that you learn. Ever you don't use that word, Lisa May?
Occasionally.
Closure. That's the kind of word you hear when there's been a tragedy. The word closure is when the death of the family. You want to find the body. We know the person's dead. We need closure.
Right.
So my wife goes to a marriage counselor a few months ago, and I didn't have to go because I think she's smart enough to realize that everything is her fault. Every time we have a problem.
Did she not try to get you to go?
She tried to get me to go.
She did, and you said
and
no.
And I said, I don't know. I got a gig out of town. She don't want to cancel the I swear.
Nice.
I swear my wife's
did
wife.
Did you get
story.
On the phone and go, "I need a gig out of town"?
Yes.
Anywhere. I'll go anywhere.
For once in my life, the stars aligned. Anyway, right. I go out of town. My wife goes to a marriage counselor, and she says to me, she comes home, she goes, "You know, we have an argument every night after dinner. You have a couple glasses of wine. We can't go to bed angry. We need closure." That's the first time I heard that term. And I said, "Fine. Close your mouth, let me watch television, and everything will be fine." Here, now I have total closure for my great Kevin and Bean appearance. I'll be the Improv Saturday night at 8 o'clock, Bobby Slayton and Friends. I'm going to cut myself off before you guys can throw me out. I'm done with you. What do you think of that? Go ahead, play a commercial. See if I give a rat's ass.
Okay, well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:51. Don't forget, you're running out of time to enter to be Miss Double December 2014. You go to KROQ.com right now. You must be 21 or over. Complete your submission. Send some photos. Make them recent. More than your face, obviously. No guys. Shouldn't have to say that, but do.
But you do have time.
You got a lot of rules, man.
Kind of uptight, aren't you, Kevin?
Wow.
We've gotten a lot of stuff that doesn't really help us.
All right, tough
guy.
Saying.
Anybody else you want to exclude? So today's Tuesday. So tomorrow, Wednesday, is the final day that you can enter. So I'm saying get to it is what I'm saying.
I just like the part where there's submission. That's my favorite part.
All right, it's 7.
What are you talking about? What he said?
But I wasn't being creepy.
7:51. Ralph is here, typing the showbiz beat on a Tuesday. Kevin DeBean Show. What's
all right,
going on?
That's creepy.
Speaking of Double D's, a very nice fan sent me a calendar of Lucy Pinder.
Oh, you know, I love Lucy Pinder.
Oh yeah. Yes.
It's her. Mm-hmm. It's one of those large wall calendars you hang up, and each month is a different.
That's going in the office, I hope.
Pose of Lucy Pinder. And I was thinking about it. I was thinking, this is a lovely gesture and a very nice calendar. And the reason that I thought of it is because he wrote a little note saying, kick off the Miss Double December competition with this, the inspiration.
I like
Lucy Pinder, who's a beautiful British model known for her work.
Yes.
Being busty.
Yeah.
That's her
having
thing to fame.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, well, how lovely is this? What a beautiful collection of very tastefully sexy photographs of Lucy Pinder. And I have nowhere I can put it. Can't hang it up in the office. Can't do that, Kevin.
No, we'll be sued.
In this day and age of human resources.
Yeah, it's a whole different world, isn't
watching
it?
Us with a fine-tooth comb, as you would say.
Right.
So that's not an option.
Nice melons.
And then I have a 3.5-year-old daughter at home.
Right.
So I can't put it in the living room or the kitchen or anywhere.
What about
down.
Giving her something to aspire to be, though?
Let's move on.
How about
my car?
This is my life now. This is where I'm at in my life. There's nowhere I can hang up a picture of a girl with giant naked boobs.
Right.
That's where I am. That's
you
my life
need,
now.
You need a clubhouse.
I feel like Bobby Slayton. Yeah. I'm now at the point in my life where I can't even hang up abroad with big cans hanging out. Come see me at the Improv.
What about your Batcave? You got that locked up, don't you?
No, but the kid comes in there. I'm in all the time working on the computer or whatever. She has an open door policy. She comes in to say hi to Daddy and sits on my lap and we talk. And I can't have giant naked Lucy Pinder pictures hanging up there. It just seems inappropriate. So I'm that guy now. I'm that guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need to get like a storage facility. Right, just sitting there with a
that's a very sad
with one of those folding lawn chairs.
Very sad.
And a cooler.
That's a very sad visual.
With some old Milwaukee in it and just the Lucy Pinder calendar up on the wall.
Yep. And some tissues.
Big ones, right?
So I don't know what we're going to do with that. Would you like that, Kevin? Are your girls okay with that? You good with your teenage girls seeing Lucy Pinder hanging
loose? It's all right. I'll put it in my car, though.
Well, you need a wall calendar in your car.
Yeah, I'll put
that for sure
on my front windshield.
Here. Weird man.
She has such big boobs.
Hey, we talked about the nice things Incubus was doing for fundraising to help out the folks devastated by that typhoon in the Philippines.
Right.
And I also was, this story caught my eye. You can say what you want about Charlie Sheen. Seems to be sort of a loon, right?
He's loony.
He's a party guy, he's known to have partying with the porn stars and everything. He's obviously got big time family problems with his kids and his ex-wives and everything else. But week after week, you will see a story of him being a philanthropist. He donates a lot of money to a lot of very worthy causes. Sometimes he's picking up the tab for somebody's funeral. Sometimes he's helping someone for their cancer treatments. Today, it's been announced. And he doesn't do it very publicly either. It's not like a guy who releases press releases about this stuff. It seems to come out after the fact. But he just, this week, donated $25,000 to the Prida Foundation. This is a very cool organization that helps locate lost children after catastrophes and disasters.
Oh, interesting.
So currently this foundation is helping to locate children that have been lost in that typhoon in the Philippines, helping to reunite families, which really couldn't be a more noble cause.
But tough work.
Tough work indeed, yeah. Charlie Sheen just donated $25,000 to that organization. This according to TMZ.com. So it's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Good news for Whovians like myself. The Day of the Doctor, 50th anniversary Doctor Who special over the weekend.
Yes!
Wow! Did you watch it?
Bring it!
Did you watch it on Saturday?
No, I didn't.
Amazing!
No, I'm not interested.
An amazing episode.
I'm not interested.
Three doctors reunite to save their home planet of Gallifrey.
That does sound great.
You don't know, man.
Well, anyway. I don't know.
Big numbers for BBC America. Good news for those guys. It pulled in over 10 million viewers in the UK, and then another 3.6 million on BBC America, so it was a big day in terms of ratings.
I'm sorry, I don't speak geek.
Oh, well, you should. Great episode.
While we're talking about television and fanatics, whew, Family Guy fans, not happy this week.
That is true. Bean being one of them. And he's not even a fan.
I'm devastated. I am a fan, and I'm devastated.
On Sunday's episode, Brian, the family dog for the Griffins, passed away, and
yeah,
it has hit a set off a maelstrom of complaints from Family Guy fans, who, of course, taken to the internet trying to resuscitate Brian with a petition at change.org.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
As of this morning, 25,000 people have signed the petition to bring back Brian from the dead.
Brian was my second favorite character after Stewie.
Here's the petition. Here's what it says. The writers of Family Guy just didn't kill off one of their creations. They killed off the dog who has lived in our homes for the past 15 years. They killed the dog we have all come to love. They killed America's dog.
Brian was America's dog, by the way.
All right,
Who's a more famous dog on TV right now than Brian?
Listen.
Yes.
As I feel I have a right to say this as someone who works on the show.
Right.
Shut up.
But Ralph, first
but is there anything else to go along with that shut up?
Yes.
Like any information?
Yeah, shut the...
First of all...
I forgot that part.
The vet that on that episode who couldn't save Brian is a dick, first of all.
Yeah, I played that role.
That was Ralph.
Yes, yeah, that was me. I was the veterinarian.
And second of all, how is this any different than if you're a huge fan of, say, The Walking Dead and they kill off Merle? You're sad because you love Merle and now he's not on the show anymore. How is that any different than taking Brian out?
I'll tell you how it's different. It's different if you're sad about it. But if you get a petition going trying to get the people who create that show to do something different because you want it, go F yourself. We live in this world now where you think you can just, oh, I don't like something, so I'm going to make these people do something different than what I like.
You change it for me.
They are the creators. These people are borderline geniuses. Every writer, every director, certainly Seth, the people who work on that show, they created that show. They can do whatever the hell they want to do with it. You want to be sad? That's fine. But don't start writing petitions saying, now do this differently because I watch your show.
I'm going to say this then. I agree with you. I don't have any problem with anything that you're saying. But yesterday I was being mocked for being upset, as was Lisa, by the way, for being upset that Brian was gone. And I think that is a legitimate feeling.
Okay. I think it isn't because, let me try to explain this.
Yes,
Brian is a series of pen and ink drawings that they photograph and then project at a rapid speed to produce the illusion of motion.
Brian is real.
But he's a beloved character.
Yes, he's a beloved character who we've enjoyed for over a decade. We're allowed to be sad that he's gone.
But you're not allowed to start a petition telling them to change what they did.
That's where I draw the line, too. I'm allowed to be sad private.
Let's check the signatures. I'm betting Bean's on it.
I did not sign the petition.
That is.
America's dog. No, it's not America's dog.
America's
he's a cartoon
dog.
Character.
I love Brian.
Watch the show!
I'm sad about Brian.
You rarely watch the show.
Did you or did you not miss 99% of Family Guy?
It is the point. How upset can you be when you barely watched?
I love Family Guy.
What do you love about it?
Not watching it. I love the comedy of it.
I love that it exists. Out there in the world?
Yes.
So in case
you ever do
want to watch it, it's there?
Bean literally, and we don't have time for this here, but Bean literally will not watch animation.
Doesn't like animation.
I buy every season on DVD, Ralph. I have the entire series of Family Guy.
How many of them have you watched on the DVD?
One day, after some extensive therapy, I'm going to be in a place where I can sit down and watch that much animation, and I will, and I'll be so happy it exists.
Until Brian dies.
Until Brian dies, and then the series is dead to me.
Just saying. They can do it if they want to.
But they shouldn't. Because Brian's awesome.
But here, look, if the purpose of any art is to affect your audience,
sure.
How successful was that episode? How successful was it that they reached into your heart and touched it?
Now, as a member of the cast, can you give us any information about future episodes?
I am.
Will they get a new pet alligator? What's happening?
I'm in the dark as much as anyone else.
Okay.
They call me up. I go there. They give me the script. I read my stuff.
Yours
go home.
Said kill Brian. That was yours.
I don't have any advance warning about what's going to happen about any other episode.
So you physically held Brian's head in a bucket of water and drowned him.
No,
right?
That's what you didn't,
Ralph.
Because he's a fictional character and he has no actual head to hold.
Okay, I'll make a note of that.
Lisa, you're with me, right?
I am with you. But absolutely. She watches.
Lisa's name's on the petition, I guarantee you.
Of course
you.
It is. No 10 question times. About
that. There's a little paw print next to it that comes from Boner.
Boner and I wept together.
I'm sure Boner did. You got a lot of weepy boners in your house, I bet. Today's celebrity birthdays. Natasha Bedingfield is 32 years old today. We established last hour, I have no idea who she is, but but I know she's very talented. Peter Facinelli. He was on Fastlane. Oh, I missed that show.
No, you don't.
40 years old today. John McVie. Legendary bassist for the legendary band, the legendary Fleetwood Mac. It's a legendary 68 years old.
Today. He's the one who's undergoing cancer treatment right now, so that's why the band is off the road. They had to postpone their tour because he's got cancer.
And he's the one whose ex-wife quit the band, said, I don't want to do this anymore. And then she came back and said, oh, you know what? I think I want to do this again.
I would like to.
Now that you have cancer. Typical
really?
Ex-wife. Yeah. Oh. Tina Turner, 74 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
This holiday season, prepare to have the stuffing scared out of you. Thanksgiving.
Where the hell is that movie, by the way? Where's the Thanksgiving movie?
That's a good question.
White meat, dark meat. All will be carved.
White meat, dark meat. All will be carved.
Look, we've had two machetes and no Thanksgiving? Come on, Eli Roth, step up. Step up.
You. When I saw that, I was hoping that would be made just like Machete.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I want to see pilgrims going on a killing spree. It is almost Thanksgiving 2013, and from time to time, we like to visit the topic of how terrible Thanksgivings can be. I don't know about you guys, but I am dreading the holidays.
I love Thanksgiving.
Really?
Yes.
You love it? Do you have it at your house, Kevin?
Yeah.
Are you the host?
Yes.
And how many people?
Oh, I don't know. Probably only 12? 11?
12?
Probably 11 or 12.
Anyone you're not looking forward to seeing?
Not really.
How about you, Lisa?
I have hosted it. I'm not this year, but I love it either way.
All right.
What's wrong with you?
Bean doesn't like people. So
I don't.
Right there, you've got a problem.
And it's too many people in my house at one time. So let's assume it's going to go well. But for a lot of people, it doesn't go well because there's a combination of a number of things working here for Thanksgiving. First of all, you start drinking pretty early in the day on Thanksgiving. Second of all, you spend way too much time with these people that you don't see all that often. And a lot of times they're family and you don't really have that much in common with them. So there's a problem there.
Okay.
And there's also just pressure. There's also just pressure of the holidays. If it's supposed to, you know, I think it's one of those, isn't Thanksgiving one of those days where we have this idyllic image of what it's supposed to be like?
Probably, yeah. I mean, I think that's when your hopes get the highest, that's when things can go terribly
right.
south.
Yeah, exactly. You could probably go with those same people to Taco Bell for lunch and get along fine. But because of the pressure of the fancy meal and the fancy china and the tablecloth and everything like that and the prayers and all the other stuff that goes on for Thanksgiving.
Oh, that can be brutal.
Thank you, Kevin. That's what I'm saying.
Putting the silverware out, brutal. Prayer,
so,
brutal.
We like to take telephone calls this time of year from people who have had disastrous and hopefully hilarious stories that have happened on Thanksgiving. Every year we end up talking to somebody who gets food poisoning and ends up vomiting or worse at somebody else's house over the holidays.
Police get called.
Police get called. A fight breaks out. Somebody gets shivved. We have those stories all the time. Somebody gets left out. Somebody doesn't get invited. We love those kinds of stories where Thanksgiving turns out to be every bit as bad as you thought it was going to be. And that's how we want to hear from you right now on the Kevin DeBean Show at 1-800-520-1067. Here's a perfect example. This is just one story that Christine found from last year on the internet. One year, my dad was opening a champagne bottle in the kitchen while my mom was taking the turkey out of the oven and carrying it over to the counter. The champagne cork went pop and shot straight up into the ceiling and shattered the kitchen light ahead, above. Smash! Shards of glass and glass fragments rained down all over our newly cooked turkey coming right out of the oven.
Right.
Okay, that's a bummer.
Right on.
2 hours later, we had to have a pork roast for Thanksgiving instead. So that's a perfect example of all the expectations are, what a beautiful moment this is that mom's bringing the turkey out of the oven. Oh, wait, what's that?
All right, Thanksgiving horror stories is what we're looking for. Beam, I think we have a second for you to tell us the story of the ex-girlfriend of your brother.
Oh, I love this story.
Why do I have to tell this story every year?
Because it's a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving
it's
story.
It's not a holiday until I hear this
That's
story.
That's correct.
Well, there's not much to the story. It seemed like just a regular old happy Thanksgiving for my family. My brother and I had both moved away from the house at that time, but we were still in the area and still young enough that we were coming back to my parents' house for Thanksgiving. So we showed up and we spent the afternoon, and I think we watched a little Cowboys on the TV, and we had our long, luxurious Thanksgiving meal. My mom was a great cook. It was a tremendous afternoon. Everybody was having a great time.
Say four and a half hours maybe?
I mean, it was an all, you know, it seemed like an all afternoon thing. Sure. Yeah, probably showed up noon or one. It's probably getting to be around 5 o'clock or so at this point. And my brother looks at his watch and he says, well, I guess I better get going. I left my girlfriend in the car.
He left his girlfriend in the car.
She sat in the car for four
she
or five hours.
She sat in the
hours?
Car.
What's wrong with her? What's that? Where's the damage there? Why would you not get out and walk?
Why wouldn't he invite her in?
Well, my brother had a policy. My brother had a policy of never introducing his parents to anyone that he was dating. Because
why
bring her?
Yeah,
why
pick her up and put her in the car then?
Apparently, they were going someplace else after he had Thanksgiving dinner at my house. They were going off to some other event or party or something. So, yeah, they had plans for later.
Well, I guess I gotta get going.
My girlfriend's still out in the car.
What the hell?
I hope he rolled the window down a little bit and put out a bowl of water.
Sure.
That was only my concern. But yeah, he just didn't want the parents to ever meet a girl because now you're opening up questions. You know what I mean? Oh, who's this girl? Oh, how'd you meet her? Oh, what are your plans? So he was just trying to avoid all of that. But yeah, how did she stay with him for a minute after that day? And how did they date for like 15 years?
Remember Omar? He's on vacation right now, but Omar has the greatest story in the world. And then we'll take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. He was at home, and his mom, who had gone out with her friends a bunch in the past, decided, hey, let you and me have Thanksgiving together. So he went home, and he waited, and she wasn't there, and he waited. And then he called, and he heard a party going on in the background. And he said, Mom, what about Thanksgiving? And she said, oh, yeah, I'm already at a party.
I forgot.
And then he said, well, are you coming home? And she said, I'm already at a party. So he went out and got fast food and rented a movie.
That was the saddest little Thanksgiving
ever. That's the best.
It was Taco Bell and Netflix for one for DJ Omar Khan that year. All right, Courtney, you hang on. We will get to you first when we return, and we've got room for your phone calls too. Thanksgiving disaster stories. What went wrong on this special holiday? Give us a call. 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back on K-Rock. We'll catch up with comedian David Spade in just a few minutes here on The Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 about terrible Halloween, terrible Thanksgiving disasters. It's not Halloween at all.
Not a bit.
Here's Susie listening in Hawaii to The Kevin and Bean Show this morning. Here's my crappy Thanksgiving story. I drove 24 hours straight from Los Angeles to Fort Worth, Texas to be with my family. Minimal stops, lots of Red Bull. I got there around 3 o'clock on Thanksgiving Day. I thought I'd take a nap before dinner. Well, it turned into a long sleep and nobody woke me up. I woke up myself at 9:30 p.m.
Awesome.
Everybody had already had Thanksgiving without me.
Awesome.
So awful.
So that's not the Thanksgiving you hope for, right?
I love it.
Let's go to Melissa. She is up first, and she is on line two on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Melissa.
Hi. So my story is that we were waiting for our Thanksgiving turkey to be done. It had been going on for like 8 hours. We were waiting for this damn turkey to be done.
Right.
And my older brother was carving the turkey, and he cut his hand while he was carving the turkey.
Oh, no.
Pretty deep cut.
Do you have to go to the hospital?
No, luckily my parents were doctors, so he got fixed up right then and there, but we ate the turkey anyways.
You mean he bled all over?
Wait, he bled all over the turkey?
Yeah, we just washed it off and we ate it. And so now we make this joke every year that the turkey tastes a little bit different than a couple of years ago.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Well, if there's one thing I know is human blood is safe to ingest, so happy holidays. Thank you, Melissa. We appreciate the call. Let's go to Stacy. She's up next. She's got a Thanksgiving horror story from just last year. Hi, Stacy.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, thank you. What happened?
So my birthday is a couple days after Thanksgiving, so our family just, since nobody can be there on my birthday, just celebrate on Thanksgiving before dinner. So I open my gifts, it's next to my cake, I go to blow up my candles. I accidentally burnt a piece of my clothing that I got for my birthday on fire. So burst into flames, I got everywhere, everybody was going crazy. I tossed a piece of clothing with the tissue paper across the table, and it got ashes all over the food.
Oh, my God.
And I was the horrible person of the day.
So, and that probably all lasted about 3 seconds, right?
Yeah, basically.
Caught on fire and threw it.
Yeah, for a day of cooking.
Thanksgiving ruined.
You ruined Thanksgiving. That's awesome. Thank you for the call.
You're the best.
By the way, she reminded me, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Jesse, we're going to go to you next. It reminded me of 1 year we had Thanksgiving. This was back when I still lived in Hancock Park. We had Thanksgiving. Remember my cat, Ralph? I used to have a cat named Ralph.
Sort of, yeah.
Well, we had Thanksgiving, and we got up and walked, I think, into the living room to have dessert, and everything was still on the table, and then we went to pick up after the meal. Ralph was in the turkey. He had climbed up on the table, was in the turkey, helping himself to all the leftovers so that we didn't have to. So that was good times.
See, cats are nice.
Let's go to Jesse next. He's on line 7.
Hi, Jesse.
Hey, good morning, party people.
What happened?
Hello.
How did your Thanksgiving get ruined?
Well, my wife started drinking a little early that year. I do all the cooking, and I made like a 12-course dinner that year, and it was running a little late because she was being such a pain in the butt. And so about 10 o'clock, I had to wake her up to bring her out to dinner. And she woke up swinging. And I was with my one-year-old. And so she was swinging at me and just punching and kicking and ripping at my shirt.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was so bad that my daughter had to call the cops. And they dragged her away.
What the hell? Why are you serving Thanksgiving dinner at 10 o'clock at night?
That's another good question.
I would be swinging at you, too.
She wasn't helping me because she was drunk and she was... But she'd come in and yell at me and swing a
I think you got what you deserve, Jesse.
Yeah, probably.
Thank you for the call. Pretty much still throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner, when I was 17.
Yeah.
That's Lord.
Yeah, Lord is making all the rest of us look bad. And don't you get the impression, we had her on the show and we spent a little bit of time with her. She seems like the type of person who could be in this for the long haul. Like,
no question,
she's not just a flash in the pan that somebody's propped up to make some money off of this month. She seems like an artist.
She was 16 when she came in, and she seemed like she was 26.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Smarter than we are, that's for sure. She's playing night number 2 of the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. That's coming up on Sunday, December 8th at the Shrine Auditorium. You can win your tickets for night number 1 or night number 2 every hour here on the world famous K-Rock, starting at 9 o'clock this morning all the way up till 6. Hey, let's catch up with David Spade. Haven't talked to him in a few months. How are you, David?
Hey, who's on that Acoustic Christmas? I went there a few years ago. It was pretty fun.
I remember seeing you at one of them. Listen to this lineup, David, and tell me if this doesn't blow your mind. Night number 1, Kings of Leon, Vampire Weekend, Queens of the Stone Age, AFI, Arctic Monkeys, Cage the Elephant, Group Love, Foals, and New Politics. That's night 1.
Every girl I date likes those.
Night number 2, Arcade Fire, Phoenix, The Neighborhood, Capital Cities, Lord, Portugal the Man, Fits in the Tantrums, Atlas Genius, and Bastille.
Okay, got a little wispy at the end, but I feel like I know some of those, and I thought you were going to say Night 3, Night Ranger. I was like, I know that one.
That's the only band on Night 3.
Well, that's great. That sounds like a great one, dude. I think when I went, the new band was Alanis Morissette.
Okay, so it's been a while since you caught up to a K-Rock show,
apparently.
Must have
been last year, yeah.
But I would think that, with the age of the girls that you date, David, you'd have to stay current with what the kids are into, right?
I like how I set myself up for my own rip.
Insert One Direction joke here.
Right, exactly.
They go, aren't you One Direction's dad? I go, hey, whoa.
Let me get the business out of the way here first. David Spade is on the phone, not just for the sheer love of Kevin and Bean, but because he's got some shows to sell. These are very special shows.
It's
They're at
60-40,
the
60-40, mostly love.
Okay. Okay. You're doing 2 shows on Thursday night, December 5th at the Fonda, or as you've been calling it lately, the Fonda, because David Spade's in town. at the Fonda, 2 shows Thursday night, December 5th, 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock. Both shows are 18 and over. Tickets are only $25, and you can buy them right now at AXS.com. Now, these are very special shows, David. Why?
Oh, that's my Comedy Central special I'm taping.
So you're going to be taping for TV.
What's that?
You're going to be taping for TV, so that means you're going to bring the A material?
I'm still going to say all the words everyone wants to hear.
Okay, good.
I'm not actually that dirty, but there's a couple things they're having problems with. You know, we have to clear things ahead of time, and I forget that I, like, sing parts of songs in my act, or I just do stupid things, and then they go, legal has a problem.
Yeah, legal has a lot of problems these days.
Yeah, I mean, you guys get it, but yeah. So I'm trying to fix those things and kick in some of my own K-sheesh just to get some jokes in that people just roll their eyes at anyway. But
you need that fake laugh track, though.
Oh, my God. I'm like, do we have to sell tickets? Can we get the audience and the prices right in
there? Hey, speaking of comedy specials, there was a lot made about Bill Cosby's return to TV. He had a Comedy Central special that just aired this past weekend. I wondered, A, if you saw it, David, and B, if the Cos was anyone that meant anything to you growing up.
I'm going to cram a lot of names in here. I just heard that from Whitney Cummings, and then she put a picture on Instagram about Cosby. I thought that was an old special. She goes, are you watching Cosby? And I was like, 100% no. Because it's not 1985. But I didn't know that he had a special, which sounds interesting.
Yeah, brand new one.
And then one time, me, Sandler, Chris Rock, or Kevin, I think we were all out doing some promotion, but we went to see him somewhere do stand-up. He did like 2.5 hours, and it was still, a guy's, you know, knows what he's doing. It's great. It's sort of a lesson, you know, to watch.
I always wonder, because comedy is so specific for a lot of people. I mean, you've got your own thing, you know, nobody's going to do your act. You're not going to do Sandler's act, you know, but I always wonder, like, when you see a guy like Bill Cosby, can he even be an influence on you, or is he just so far away from what you do that it's just apples and oranges?
Well, there's a respect level. And then there was the beginning when I heard him and Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy and all black guys. I don't know why. But they were all funny, and then Steve Martin, you know, you're sort of shaped at the beginning, and they're heavy influences when you're into something. It's like music once you're into it. But I do have to say, when people say they like a sense of humor in a guy, it's literally like saying you like music. It's so general that you, would you like Howie Mandel? Do you like Stephen Wright? Do you like, you know, Tracy Morgan or my stuff? Or everything is so different and varied in comedy now because there's so much of it that it's a little like niches that the Arctic Monkeys, where people go, no, I like this guy. And you're like, that guy, I've never seen him. And then you see him like an open mic night and you go, oh, I could see someone. You know what I mean? So
there's
the broad strokes. There's a super famous comedian. And then there's the one. It's like bands in a weird way.
Now, what is it like when you record a show for Comedy Central? People know that it's being put on TV. Do you get more hecklers? Do you get more audience participation, shouting, whatever?
No, I don't want anyone to yell Joe Dirt, which happens every single time.
Well, you just cursed yourself.
No, I love the movie. I love the people that see it. But it tells you about the movie that the people that come, first of all, they're all wearing shorts.
Right.
And I'm like, even when I'm in Las Vegas, I go, what are you saving the pants for, Blue Man Group? Like, hey, we're at the pool. Put your pants on. It's just spades. Oh, okay, yeah. I'm going to save them because we're going to see Hunger Games Sunday. I'm like, oh, yeah. Don't put them on yet. Like, so I always have people in the front row with shorts. And then usually the middle of a precipice of a joke, they go, Joe Dirt. And I'm like, can you even wait till I'm in between jokes before you say something I have no answer to?
Yeah, and what are you supposed to answer to that?
I don't. Sometimes I talk about these because drive-through to go in is a bit of a commotion, because if Joe Dirt is actually in Wendy's, it's such a conflux of too much happening at once. They're like, oh, my God, is that actually Joe Dirt in here? So I say I hit on girls by I slap my arms and guy, are you a veterinarian? Because these puppies are sick. What's up? And that confuses people for a little bit.
That's enough.
It's like that Men in Black, you know, light in their eyes and they don't really know what that joke was.
Sure.
I love it.
David Spade on the phone here at the Kevin Beach on our remaining moments. Let's give away some tickets. How about that? Screw going to AXS.com to buy tickets for $25 for the shows at the Fonda on December 5th. We're going to give them away right now to Kevin and Bean listeners at 1-800-520-1067. Callers 10 through 14. You win right now, but you have to promise you won't yell out Joe Dirt during the middle of any of David's
jokes. You have to promise that you will yell it out.
They also have heard the first 14 minutes of my act.
Just now?
Exactly.
Once you answer the phone, that's exactly what I say.
David, we always appreciate where we have a few minutes to spend with you. Come down and see us sometime. We would like that.
I would. That whole area is a little sketchy, but I want to get down there.
There was a police shootout a couple of days ago, so yeah.
You're like, you can go over to the El Pollo Loco after. It's super fun down here. Anyway, thanks for having me, and have a good Thanksgiving, and I might see you at that acoustic action.
There you go.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. David Spade, thank you. 106.7 K-Rock and KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 9.
So this guest that's coming up next, Ralph, she's adorable.
Yes.
And very funny. She's got both of those things.
Funny. She can sing. She can act. She can write.
Can she dance?
She can dance. Mm-hmm. Rachel Bloom is just, she's a beloved YouTube darling.
YouTube?
Okay.
YouTube darling, yeah. And you too love her, too.
I thought you said you too.
No, Pana's a big fan. But also, she writes for Robot Chicken, and she's just, she's the goods.
Got it all.
And she's a lovely Jewess.
Yes. And she's just in time for Hanukkah.
Celebrates Hanukkah, which of
course comes to meet Rachel coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat Now on a Tuesday. Here's Ralph Garman.
My favorite song of hers is What She Wants to Do to Ray Bradbury.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Science fiction writer Ray Bradbury. She's a big fan of his. She would like to enjoy him.
I liked you can touch my boobs. I like that.
That's a good one too.
That's a good one.
She's got some great videos.
Yeah.
Speaking of videos, haven't laughed harder in a long time than I did to the Bound 3 video that came out yesterday. Bound 3 is the response video to Bound 2, of course, which starred Kanye West and a topless Kim Kardashian writhing on a motorcycle. Well, Seth Rogen and James Franco are currently making a movie, and they saw Bound 2, and they said, we need to recreate that video shot for shot. So Seth Rogen whipped his shirt off, James Franco hopped on the motorcycle, and shot for shot, scene for scene, perfectly lip-synced, these two guys recreated the Bound 2 video, and it is freaking brilliant.
Now, and by the way, pointing out to your point about the original video, they've got more sexual tension in their video than Kim and Kanye have in the original, don't they?
Easily. I'm more attracted to Seth in the video than I am to Kim in the first one. Of course, a big question was, how are Kimye going to respond to this?
Well, they have a notoriously good sense of humor. So,
or the opposite.
Or the, not that, yeah.
Yeah. But either they have a sense of humor, or they've gotten savvy enough to appreciate that the best way to diffuse the situation is just to be seen as taking it with a
in
good spirits. Kim Kardashian tweeted yesterday to the fellas, "You nailed it, so funny." To Seth Rogen's Twitter account.
Wow. Well, Kanye had nothing to do with that Twitter.
Seth Rogen responded, "Thanks. Some of those positions are really uncomfortable. That S is harder than it looks." Regarding their work on the motorcycle. And then Kim responded, "Kanye says, what's up? He loves you guys. He laughed so hard at this."
Now, do we think that's true?
On behalf of Kanye, who didn't like it at all. Listen, if he couldn't laugh at Jimmy Kimmel's sketch where little kids were saying what he said in the interview, you really think he's laughing at James Franco doing a spot-on Kanye spoof?
He is lip-syncing it perfectly.
And with the hand gestures and everything, he is just totally mocking him.
That's awesome.
I find it hard to believe Kanye is thrilled with that. Being a creative genius and all.
Sure.
Hurry up with my damn croissants!
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
I'm confused by Barack's input.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
No, I heard it. I just said I was confused by it.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Let's see if we can figure this. Is this a throwback to the time that the president called Kanye West a jackass?
Is it that? You're tying it back
to that? No, it's not that deep. He likes the video. That's all. That's all it was.
Really?
But what is the president? He likes this version of the video.
This video. He's a fan of that.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
You might be looking too deep. I withdraw.
Defense rests, Your Honor.
Yeah.
I mentioned this, but it's worth repeating, that George Takei finally has his own signature celebrity fragrance.
He's a jackass.
Come on, Obama, leave my report alone. You're making no sense, Mr. President. Aren't you in the middle of traffic right now?
Yes,
I wonder if he's listening. What are the odds President Barack Obama is listening to the Kevin and Bean Show?
Zero.
I'm thinking.
I think zero.
35%.
I think I'm at zero. But,
I'm at 35%.
But if he is, I'd like to say stop this BS about us picking which turkey to pardon. How about that? And do something else. Anything.
I heard he's going to sign the turkey up to the Obama health care plan.
Yeah, I need to be the president. Can you imagine them closing down all the roads for you? That would be awesome.
Mr. President, I respectfully request you call in if you're listening right now. 1-800-5-2-0.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
1-800-5-2-0.
So what happens when we go out to a party with some sisters, huh?
1-0-6-7.
You're not giving the number out for him to call.
I am.
It's not going
to
happen.
I would like the president to call in. I bet he has some things he'd like to share with our listeners. 1-800-520-1067.
Ralph has brought us some excellent guests in the past. He's the guy who has come through.
You don't ask, you don't get.
Now, if the president says fire beer mug,
then it's a presidential order. Who are we to?
We can't
ignore the commands of our commander in chief.
Right. We don't have a choice.
That's science.
That is science.
These are facts.
What if he wants to put Barack Obama in that place? You know, the Cuban place.
Guantanamo Bay?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
There. Let's throw him in there. Throw away the key.
I feel like we have gone afoul of the original intent of this story.
Sorry, that was all me when I started.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
George Takei's got his own signature celebrity fragrance that will be out just in time for Christmas. December 15th is the time. The press release reads, I kid you not, set phasers to stunning. You may have seen the French phrase eau de cologne or eau de toilette.
Sure.
When it comes to fragrances. Well, George's fragrance is called Oh My.
Oh My.
E-A-U-O-My.
Oh My.
It's for men and women.
Sure.
It's unisex. Fits all sizes. Makes a great stocking stuffer. Much like George himself. Just want to put it out there.
Nan Cannon.
Any call from the president yet?
No, I'm looking.
The phones are blowing up. No one's answering them.
But that's the request line. Well, you gave out the request
line. That's what I gave out. Yeah. What are you going to give out? The super secret line? I'm not going to do that.
K-Rock, hello.
Hey.
Are you the president?
I wish I was.
Okay, all right. Sorry.
Need the press. Keep going. I bet he's in there somewhere.
K-Rock, hello.
I don't think so. I think they're calling for David Spade tickets, guys. I think that's what these phones are ringing for.
Look for a Washington, D.C. or a Chicago area code. I bet his cell phone is still Chicago. Probably.
Hello?
Hello.
Are you the president?
Sure.
Hello, Mr. President. I'm glad we finally got you on the line.
That was the best answer ever.
Is Don on the phone?
Sure. Get Don on the phone. This is ridiculous. Today's celebrity birthdays, Natasha Bedingfield's 32. Peter Facinelli is 40 years old today. Bassist John McVie of Fleetwood Mac is 68. And legendary songstress Tina Turner celebrates her 74th birthday today. You don't see a lot of work out of Tina anymore.
No, you don't.
But there was a time.
She's basically retired, I think.
There was a time where she was the S. It was all about Tina. It was Tina's
for
world.
A long time,
we were just
by the
living
way.
In it. And now she's living on an island somewhere with her.
I think she lives in Switzerland, I think.
That's what I meant, the island of Switzerland. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Elizabeth Fendrick from Walnut just won tickets for night number one of the sold-out 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Show. That's Saturday, December 7th at the Shrine. That's the Kings of Leon Vampire Weekend, Queens of the Stone Age AFI Arctic Monkeys Night. We got tickets for that. And night number two, you can win all day long, every hour on the hour. Hey, who's your pretty friend here, Kevin?
That would be Rachel Bloom. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel. How are you?
Oh, thank you. Sit down. Please.
Rachel is a singer and an actress and a writer and just all around, she owns the internet. That's basically what we've learned about Rachel from the past few minutes.
Yep.
Are you a multi-billionaire because of your YouTube?
Oh, my God. I'm so rich.
That's what I thought.
So rich, yeah. Took my diamond limo over here. No, actually, my most popular videos I can't even monetize because they're age restricted. So I make basically no money off the YouTube.
Their dirtiest ones are the best.
Yes.
And then they're age restricted and people can't see them.
Yeah.
I'm always fascinated because it used to be that people put things up on the internet because they were trying to get a TV show. But now you actually don't even need a TV show if you're big enough on the internet, right? I mean, that's a living if you're on the right site.
No, there are some people who get, way more ratings than some of the biggest TV shows. I mean, you have these people who put up a video, you know, a week or every few days, and they get millions and millions of
hits. NBC would pay to have those kind of eyeballs on a show, right?
Yeah, yeah, and the really big YouTube celebrities, it's like 11 to 14 year olds. Are their main demographic? Because those are the people who are really like actively like on social media and being like, "Oh my God, I love you, I love you, I love you." Because that's the age. That's the age range that you get, you know, really fixated. Yeah. On
sure,
stuff.
Sure.
Like when I was 11, I was really interested in roller coasters, like and earthquake safety facts.
Obviously,
but you had no friends.
But I had no friends. No, I just played Roller Coaster Tycoon and hoped that my roller coasters wouldn't fall over an earthquake. But
so
yeah.
when you sit down to make one of your videos, and we'll talk about a bunch of your songs here this segment, Rachel, but are you writing about things that are hilarious to you and your friends, or are you, hey, what is a 12-year-old into? I've got to write a song about that.
No, I'm writing about stuff that's hilarious to me and my friends. Actually, I had a friend who said, I released a video a couple of months ago with my album that's called Jazz Fever that I really love, but it's like a 1920s jazz song. And my friend Zeb was like, you couldn't pay a teenager to watch Jazz
that's
Fever.
True.
You couldn't. That's true. It's not in any way topical.
You could change one letter and everybody would watch.
Yeah,
but
that's exactly. Right.
You have to put it on you porn, though. That would be the
yeah,
problem
exactly.
There. All right. Kevin, what clips do you have from Rachel before we start talking Hanukkah here?
Well, tell us about Ray Bradbury first.
Is that your big, that's your big smash hit, right,
Rachel? Yeah, that kind of like came out of nowhere. Like I mean, not out of nowhere, but like I wanted to be kind of my own one-woman sketch group. And mm-hmm. This was kind of right out of college. And I'd had this song about Ray Bradbury that I'd been kind of percolating on for like a year or two. And I was like, I don't know what I want to do with this. Like, I'm not really like a singer.
So this song was kind of just bouncing around in your head?
Yeah, it was like, it was a summer during college. I'd just gone through like kind of a bad breakup.
Right.
And I was rereading The Martian Chronicles, which is my favorite book. And what I love about Ray Bradbury books is that he has really amazing, like, high concept sci-fi and, well, he would say fantasy, and fantasy ideas, but they're really just, like, structures to explore how people deal with it and
right.
like, the human emotion within it.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that I'd broken up with was, like, really smart but very clinical mm-hmm. and very kind of, like, robotic. And I was like, oh, my God, I need a guy like Ray Bradbury, someone who's, like, smart but also, like, super emotional.
So you wrote F Me Ray Bradbury.
Yeah.
And here's a little taste of that.
Come on, baby, I'm down on one knee. I carved our names on a Halloween tree. You write about Earthlings going to Mars. And I write about when you win my car.
You won an Emmy Award for the screenplay adaptation of Halloween Tree.
Me, Ray Bradbury, the greatest
So you got that one.
Oh, they're going to love you at Comic-Con, Rachel. They are going to love you.
It's so funny because when we made that music video, because it's like a Britney Spears parody, we made it in an old, it was basically, it used to be a Catholic school, like a school in Brooklyn that rented itself out for film shoots for like donations. And it's since closed, unfortunately, because it was, filming in a school is impossible. So we were in there and we knew that there would be a priest walking around and we were like, okay, if they get wind of what we're filming, they might be upset. So we recorded, a whole different version of the song just because we were like, well, what if he wants to come watch filming? We can't stop the shoot, so we recorded a version of the song where every curse word is just like a baby crying or like oh yeah 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 yeah. So there's a whole like crazy pants version of the song, and then so of course I told the whole cast, I was like, hey guys, like, you know, just tell me if the priest is coming so we can switch to the other version. And one of my dancers was like lovely but, you know, kind of head in the clouds.
Sure.
and I look back and we're totally filming the video and she just has her shirt open talking to the priest and he's watching filming and he's totally cool with it. So, cool.
All right.
Brooklyn priest.
All right. Nice work, priest.
Yeah, thanks.
Tell me about Die When I'm Young.
Oh.
Another hit.
Yeah. Well, that was from, I'd always wanted to do like a pop song that was like super happy, but also talked about my fixation with death.
Right.
As most people do.
Rachel is the perfect woman, you guys.
She's perfect for Bean. Bean loves death as well.
Yeah. I do love death.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the type of thing where like, I had wanted to do a video maybe where it was like me partying on the beach and being like, but someday we're all gonna die. Because like it's in those happiest moments that you think about death. And then,
that's not true for everyone, just so you know.
Oh, that's not?
No.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm gonna kill
sort
myself.
Sort of strange.
Later.
No, that's fine.
And then like I just kept thinking about how in rock music there's just this fixation that dying young is somehow like cool and exotic. And I've always been a bit bothered by like the whole Marilyn Monroe thing because like everyone's like, oh my God, they're like such a fan of Marilyn Monroe just because she's like so beautiful and tragic. But like they know nothing about her.
Right.
It's just that she died young and was beautiful. And like death is a horrible, very real thing to me that I think about a lot. So that was the inspiration for it, that like dying young is cool, but it's actually really horrifying. And
I say I'm dying. He says I'm sorry. I say let's f-. He says I'm sad now.
Gonna die when I'm young. I should have had my home checked for.
Do you have to work blue?
No.
Okay, I'm just asking.
No.
Just a question.
I don't. I think it's just, you know what it is like, because that song otherwise, I think that little curse word was the only curse word in the song. I think it's just that, like, I want hard jokes. I think that there's a real tendency with comedy music to get cutesy, and I come from a musical theater background where that's, like, all that musical theater is, and so that I don't get cutesy, I think that's why, like, there's curse words and stuff just to be like, no, 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 this isn't, like, some, like, cute little, you know, ditty about flossing your teeth. Like, you know.
Serious.
And,
not that there's anything wrong with a ditty about flossing your teeth.
Flossing your teeth.
I think Rachel just came up with her next hit, by the way. A ditty about flossing your teeth. All right, we have to take a break. Rachel Bloom is here. She is a singer, comedian, actress, writer. You can follow her on Twitter at Rachel Does Stuff, which is an awesome Twitter name, by the way. And that's the website, too, racheldoesstuff.com. We'll talk all things Hanukkah, and play Hanukkah Honey when we return right after this on K-Rock.
And now Rachel Bloom with I Steal Pets.
I steal pets from the popular people and then dress the pets up like the popular people. I steal pets from the popular people and hide them all in a shed. Yeah, I steal pets from the popular people and then dress the pets up like the popular people. I steal pets from the popular people and lock them in my shed.
That is the hookiest song ever. That melody will never leave your head once you've heard it.
That's sort of like Fridays and Chinese food.
Yep, exactly. Rachel Bloom.
She has a dance that goes along to that as well, she was doing here.
I like it very much. Rachel Bloom is in studio with us. She is the YouTube sensation. Her channel is racheldoesstuff.com or on Twitter at racheldoesstuff. And I guess you have millions of fans around the world, of course, but Ralph Garman has been talking you up lately. But when the Hanukkah Honey song came out, he said, that's it, guys. You have to have Rachel in on the Kevin DeBean Show because it's the perfect confluence of events with Thanksgiving and Hanukkah occurring at the exact same time. As a Jewess, is this huge news for you, Rachel?
The Thanksgiving and Hanukkah happening at the same time? Yeah.
You don't care.
Yeah,
care at all.
You know, it's like weird because it's like Hanukkah is, I think, in the scheme of Judaism, like not that important. Like, it's only important because Christmas is so important.
Okay.
So,
right. If you take away Christmas, Hanukkah doesn't matter that much?
I think so.
It's a lesser holiday.
It's
right?
A lesser holiday because most of the other holidays are about just feeling terrible about yourself. And Hanukkah's about joy. So it can't be that important.
Okay. All right. So Hanukkah Honey, let's talk about that before we hear some of it here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Tell me, give me the backstory, the inspiration.
Sure. Well, so I noticed that a lot of my friends and a lot of people put out Christmas albums every year, but no one ever puts out a Hanukkah album. And actually, the last like comedy Hanukkah song is the Adam Sandler Hanukkah song.
Yeah.
And so I got together with my friend's Jack Dolgen, who's my frequent collaborator on my music videos, and my boyfriend, Dan Greger, who's a comedian. He writes for How I Met Your Mother. And we were all raised kind of different levels of Jewish and Judaism. And we decided to like brainstorm and just write a Hanukkah album. And this was in like September. So we kind of banged it out in 2 months.
A whole album.
Yeah. Like we had the idea like 2 months ago and we were like, all right, let's just do it. Let's bang it out. And it was a ton of work, but we had this one brainstorming session where we were in Jack's house for like 3 hours and we were just coming up with all sorts of song ideas. And then I don't know who said it, but it's like, oh, a Santa Baby like genre parody. And we were like, oh, like a Hanukkah song, but it's how Jewish girls hit on Jewish guys. And I think I was like, you got your MBA from Penn. And we were like, oh, yeah, totally. And it's funny because the song seems like it's steeped in stereotype. But because we are Jews, and especially like my boyfriend is a Long Island Jew, all of those stereotypes are really true.
Are real.
They're really real.
All right. Here's a little bit of that song.
Hanukkah, honey. You got your MBA from Penn. Amen. That is such a good school, Hanukkah, honey. So come and light my candle tonight. Hanukkah, honey, at the JCC you play basketball so tall. You must be 5'8". Hanukkah, honey, so come and flip my latkes tonight.
Nice. Am I a little turned on? What's going on right now?
I know why you're such a tease. It's 'cause your last three girlfriends were Japanese. I'm exotic too. I've been to Palm Beach. Oh, by the way, I think our parents have mutual friends. The Schachters, do you know them? Hanukkah, honey, you make puns just like my dad. So rad. You say holla like
holla.
Hanukkah, honey, so come and spin my dreidel. You may think I'm stuffy 'cause I work in finance, but my bat mitzvah theme was dance. Let me make all your dreams come true. Oh, by the way, you went to camp with my friend's step cousin. Small world. Hanukkah, honey, can you hear those wedding bells? LOL. But seriously, do you want kids? Hanukkah, honey, so come kiss my mezuzah tonight.
I heard you with a beatboxer on your college a cappella group.
Come and bless my challah tonight.
I'd love to hear your version of Who Let the Dogs Out.
Mezuzah is the name for my...
All right. All right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Oh, thank you for the roses. Oh, my God. Roses. These are beautiful. Thank you.
I'm all choked up.
Bean?
RachelDoesStuff.com is the website, on Twitter at RachelDoesStuff. By the way, if somebody, they see it on YouTube for free, but if somebody wants to buy it, can they do that as well, Rachel?
Yeah, actually, well, the...
Put it on their Hanukkah mixtapes this
year?
Yes,
well, you can buy the single and you can also buy the whole album. I actually don't know if I can say the title on the radio. It's not a bad word.
We'll try it and I'll beep it. I'll get out.
Oh, you'll get it out?
Yeah.
Okay, the album is called Suck It Christmas.
That's all right.
That's fine.
All right.
That's totally fine.
And obviously in jest, you know, for all you non-Jews out there, just if you listen to the album, you'll realize it's very self-deprecating. We don't really mean it, but we kind of do because being Jewish is this subtle mix of hating yourself and loving yourself at the same time. So it's called Suck It Christmas, so you can buy that single And then this album of Hanukkah songs and Jewish songs.
Fantastic. Go. Rachel, so nice to have you in on the Kevin and Bean Show.
The
we
Jewish
really
Weird Al.
Hey.
Nice. As much as we love Lux, our current Miss Double December, it is that time of year. So we're looking.
Give up Lux?
Well, or just add two.
Yeah.
I've been a proponent that we should just add and not take away.
I know, that would get unwieldy, though.
That's all right. I can handle that kind of unwieldy. But we are looking for a Miss Double December 2014. If you'd like to be that person, you have 24 hours, basically, to the end of tomorrow morning's show to enter. You go to krock.com. You fill out the entry form. You send in a couple of photos. You show us a little bit of your personality with some of the answers that you put on there. And then we vote.
Yep.
Pick a top 10.
Has anyone seen any of the entries that we've received so far?
Yes.
Kevin has.
And how are they looking?
Pretty
how's,
damn
how's
good.
How's the field? Yeah?
Pretty damn good, yeah.
It gets better every year,
it
really,
does get better
it?
Every year, yeah. That's true.
Somehow it became prestigious.
Well, I don't know that that's the word.
It is. Like, in a weird sense, amongst spokes model types, girls who do car show modeling and that kind of stuff, it has become on their radar. That's like a thing you could do that gets you a certain amount of pub and is fun to do.
Do you think that that's because we have the ear of the White House?
I do. Because POTUS is listening at all times and he likes to keep up with what we're doing.
That's just the NSA listening at all times, by the way, not POTUS.
Well, one and the same, in my opinion.
Ralph, what happened?
Well, we just got an email from the White House press corps. It really wasn't POTUS himself. It was someone from the New York Times. There's a crew of reporters following the president around.
Right.
And someone in the press corps was listening to the show and made a story out of it. Made a press story out of it. The morning show program on K-Rock asked the president to call in. We could not confirm at this time whether POTUS heard the request before his arrival at the stately home of the fundraiser before 9:02 a.m. So they were like an actual news piece about us asking him to call in. Yeah, it was very funny.
Inane. Well, since Mr. Obama did not deem it necessary to pick up the phone and call, I will no longer vote for him. How do you like that? I'm not going to vote for him anymore.
See what you did there. See, because he's done running. He can't run again.
But whatever. My point is whatever.
9:45, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
I would like to beg, not ask, beg the president to call in a drone strike on this facility right now. Just take me out of my misery.
That's very different.
Yeah, I know. We wanted him to call initially. Now, sure. Now I'm looking forward to the sweet, sweet taste of death. I didn't hear Bean's comedy. What am I thinking? Set a strike up there in
his
place.
Right, he's not here. He's the only one that lives if they drone strike here.
Right. You don't take out the USA when we're having terrorist problems, so you take out the terrorists.
Correct.
So go get the Bin Laden of comedy up there on his island, POTUS.
I'm sure they've got a GPS tracker on me right now.
Oh. SEAL Team 6, let's get with it.
That'd be so nice to dig him out of his spider hole and just put two in the back of his skull. Just double tap him. Of course, Thanksgiving's right around the corner. You know, there's a lot of things we overindulge in around this time of year, especially Thanksgiving. Food, right? You overeat,
sure.
You oversleep, you overspend, you overdrink. But you know the one thing Americans cut back on Thanksgiving Day?
Americans cut back on?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I know this one.
Okay.
You going to give us a guess?
Is it porn?
It is indeed porn. According to Pornhub.com, one of the major providers of internet fun, they say they see a 29% drop-off on Thanksgiving Day. 29%. It's almost a third less porn is being watched on Thanksgiving Day.
Why do you think that is? Is that because everyone's around? Like, you have family and
less privacy.
Full house. Right.
Yeah.
Hey, Stassen, stay out!
What's Bean going to do? He's got 24 people in his house. What's he going to do? How's he going to find celebrity male clowns or whatever site he's on?
Actually, for Thanksgiving, I'm hoping for some hot pilgrim porn, and I'm afraid I won't get the time to get to it.
That is the best.
Of course, it spikes right back up the day after Thanksgiving.
Sure.
While you're handling the leftovers, you're also handling...
We get it.
I don't think you do.
This year, there will be no leftovers.
Yeah, Kevin, I'm talking about this right here.
Right, I know. You don't have the point. Yeah, I know.
I don't think you understand.
I understand.
I'm referring to this.
I get it.
Oh, okay. So just keep that in mind on Thanksgiving Day. If you can, sneak in a little me time. Because people at Pornhub, they need your continued support.
Must be Thanksgiving in here because somebody wants some stuffing.
Why you got to be like that? Lord is once again speaking her mind and ticking off some people.
Okay.
I love her, and I love her outspoken attitude towards pop music. I'm a big proponent. I'm Team Lord. That's what
Team
I am.
Lord, all right.
Calling out Drake and Nicki Minaj this time around. Around the middle of the year, she said during an interview with, appropriately enough, Interview Magazine, I started listening to a lot of rap, like Nicki Minaj and Drake, as well as pop singers like Lana Del Rey. They all sing about such opulence, stuff that just didn't relate to me or anyone that I knew. I began thinking, how are we listening to this? It's completely irrelevant.
Okay. Wait, she said that in the middle of the year? Or just now?
She said that now.
Okay.
About her listening habits in the middle of last year when she was listening to a lot of this type of music.
Gotcha.
And I think she speaks to a large portion of young people listening to music where that kind of stuff, especially when it comes to talking about, as she drops in Royals about the Bentleys and the Maybachs and things like that, where there is no sort of resonance with those people because they don't have that lifestyle and will never have that lifestyle.
Yeah. But isn't that why a lot of people enjoy that kind of music? Is they like the aspirational nature of it? They like imagining what it would be like to be rich and famous?
Well, if you're sort of deluded and that's what your goals are, but I think there's a large portion of people, especially a younger audience, that likes hearing about more significant things that really matter in their lives that are actually happening in their lives versus the fantasy.
Well, I agree with that. And you can mock, T-Swizzle all you want, but part of the reason she's the most successful singer or songwriter out there is because her songs are all about universal themes of, love and relationships. And that's something everybody can relate to.
Yeah.
Somehow he can always bring it back to T Swizzle.
Somehow.
No, what I'm saying is, we weren't talking about her at all.
T Swizzle.
No, but we were talking about how music connects with young people, and I'm saying there's a reason why she's so popular. It's because she's doing exactly what Lord says, which is she's writing about things that are relatable to people rather than
take it easy, Uncle Creepy.
Expensive jewelry and cars. That's all.
You sit on Uncle Bean's lap, T Swizzle. You come here. Day of the Doctor on BBC America. The 50th anniversary for Doctor Who.
Can't wait.
Pulled in a spectacular 10.2 million people in the UK.
Oh, it's over.
And another 3.6 here in the States with BBC America. Momentous day indeed for Doctor and his fans. And then, of course, you know, come Christmas, we get the regeneration. We get to meet our new Doctor.
Of course. It's
very exciting.
Wait, so the new Doctor was not part of this 50th anniversary show? I thought that's when they were unveiling the new Doctor.
No, he's already been unveiled, Bean. Well,
no, but I mean on the show. I thought that was going to be his first appearance on the show. No?
No, of course. He's always unveiled on the Christmas Day special.
Bean.
It's been that way for 50 years. Bean.
Obviously.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it either.
No, this was Matt Smith's farewell, was this 50th anniversary. But he got David Tennant in there and John Hurt.
Sure.
And all the Doctors came back. Even Tom Baker. How excited was it to see Tom Baker?
Oh, my God.
When Tom Baker came on, I was like, wow, I can die now.
Believe it. Yeah. He's the best.
You know, Fire Baker, beer mug.
That has nothing to do with Tom Baker.
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthday is Natasha Bedingfield's 32 years old today. Peter Facinelli from Twilight and, of course, Nurse Jackie. So good on Nurse Jackie. 40 years old today. John McPhee of Fleetwood Mac, currently battling cancer. We wish him the best. He is 68 years old today. And singer Tina Turner celebrates her 74th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her off tomorrow morning. We have the Mythbusters on.
That's easy for you to say.
It's not easy for me to say at all.
Oh, my goodness, the Mythbusters.
The voice of the Clippers, Ralph Lawler, will be on the program. Comedian Jim Pardo, comedian Adam Carolla, comedian Brad Williams, Cousin Sal. Take a look at the NFL.
Wow.
Internet roundup, so we got a full show.
Here's my thing about cranberry sauce.
It's going to be all it is, yeah.
What? Fresh cranberries. How hard is that?
No, he prefers you get it out of the can, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, I think you aren't mistaken.
We'll check tomorrow.